about. So easy. So
you gotta put it in perspective.
Calling all stations. Clear the air lanes. Clear all air lanes for the big broadcast.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Well, got picking up. That's one of your duties.
No,
that's one of your duties.
Nugget poops wherever she well pleases. And so,
please, the adults are talking right now.
I know everybody at home now is just glued to the television set.
Was you ever jealous of Louis Armstrong?
He was Neil Armstrong.
Do you think man will ever walk on the sun?
The sun is too hot.
What happens if they went in winter when the sun is cold?
And now.
Yeah, this is really uncomfortable.
No, this is uncomfortable.
Our feature presentation.
I love Borat so much.
He's so great.
Still love that character.
I never saw that movie, by the way.
It was a great movie.
Wait, why?
It's a great movie.
Well, never mind.
Yeah, you should see. You like him? You like his comedy?
I should. I guess I just missed that one. Hey, party people, welcome into another all-new Kevin and Bean Show, this time for a Wednesday. How is Muse, Kevin?
I will find out tonight.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. I was thinking it was last
night. Can't
wait. I know they're playing 3 shows this week. I forgot which days
it's
they were
tonight,
there.
Tomorrow night, and Saturday.
Yeah.
Very, very exciting. And of course, they're coming in later. Hey, you know how it is in your mind when you make a connection between two people that you either didn't know or had forgotten about? Like when you first found out that Super Dave Osborne and Albert Brooks were brothers. You know,
right.
It just kind of blows your mind. You go, wait, that's a bizarre connection between those two people. I had one of those connections yesterday that just blew my mind.
Okay.
And I'm going to tell you what it is.
And you and I are brothers?
Very close. You and I have something really, really close to being in common that we would never have suspected. Who do I hate more than anyone in the world? Who's my Adolf
Dane
Hitler?
Dane Cook?
Worse.
Oh, that's
worse
a good
than
guess.
Dane Cook.
Worse than Dane Cook, yeah.
Who do you hate? Who do you hate?
Who
look around
hate?
The room.
Oh,
beer
mug.
Think,
beer mug.
Obviously, right?
All right. Right.
Beer mug's the worst human in the world ever, right?
Thanks.
Who does Kevin hate more than anyone in the world?
Al Roker?
Yes. Al Roker and Beer Mug are the same person.
What are you talking about?
They don't look the same.
Start putting the pieces together. Think about it. Who has crazy up and down weight? Who's losing weight, gaining weight,
right.
Losing
both.
Weight, gaining weight?
Both.
Right?
Both.
Who is unkept and slovenly and probably poops his pants?
Well, we know Al poops his pants.
We do know Al did, yeah.
So I
he poops in your pants.
I poop my pants.
Right. Look, is there any question in a billion years that Beer Mug doesn't poop his pants? Come on.
No, there's no question about that.
And then the final piece of the puzzle was, I don't know if you saw any of NBC's coverage of the inauguration on Monday and the parade and everything. Al Roker was their man on the street. Al Roker was the guy who was... who was out there on Pennsylvania Avenue watching the president and the first lady walk down the street with the Secret Service and the parade, the inaugural parade and all that stuff. He was the guy who was out there doing interviews in the crowd. And at one point, he decided he was going to get an interview with the president as he walked by.
Right.
So the president's walking by. Al Roker's on the side of the street. He's about 15 feet away. Here's what Al Roker does.
Mr. President! Mr. President! Mr. President!
Sound like anyone you know?
Certainly does.
Mr. President! Mr. President! Mr. President!
Still sounding like someone
yep.
you know?
Yep.
How's it going? Is the weather good?
Yeah.
Is that fantastic? All right,
fantastic.
Mr. President!
Wow. That's huge.
There you have it, the first interview with the newly re-inaugurated 44th
right.
President of the United States.
Wow. Nice.
Okay.
Wow.
Who are they cheering? Who do they cheer? Oh, Katy Perry. Guys. Hey, Katy Perry. Walk the moon. Hey, Katy Perry. Walk the moon is standing right here. Katy, walk the moon. Katy Perry. Walk the moon is standing right here.
So your ultimate enemy and my ultimate enemy are the same. What do they say?
They're the same enemy.
The enemy of your friend is your enemy. Isn't that something how the expression goes?
No, it's the enemy of your enemy is your friend.
Yes.
Okay. Well, maybe it doesn't apply. But my point is that Al Roker and Beer Mug both need to be put down. And that'll make Kevin and Bean the happiest little guys in the world.
How's the weather was his question.
Yeah. That was his one big shot.
Wow. Good times.
Nice, right?
Yeah.
I guess every station has their beer mug.
You know what? And mug, one day we'll have a gastric bypass.
That's probably true.
There's no question about that.
So.
One day within the next 2 weeks.
Yeah. At this rate.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Are you f***ing joking?
No, I'm not. Bean mentioned a second ago, Muse will be in the studio. Very excited about that.
Mm-hmm.
Coming to Staples Center tonight. And they're my second favorite live band behind Rage Against the Machine. They're always great. Can't wait. We have a Wheel of Bad Animal Voices on the program today.
Super.
We have Adam Carolla. This Week in Rage. We have Bogus Internet Relationships based on this T.O. dude.
Oh, the guy. Oh, right.
Hey, catfishing is bigger than ever. I read an interview with the guy who runs the catfish show on MTV yesterday.
Right.
He said, and this was a little bit more than he usually gets, he got over 2,000 emails last week from people who want his help to investigate their internet relationships. Last week, 2,000.
Those are 2,000 stupid people, don't you think?
Not necessarily,
See,
Kevin.
You keep saying that.
Because I believe that.
You should, if you're going to meet someone online, you should start with the idea that there's a very good possibility they're lying. That should be the beginning point. And then everything along the way is, you know, confirmation or telling you that it's not the case.
All right. Well, we will discuss that. You may be a little more cynical than I am. I don't see any reason to automatically assume everyone is a bastard. But
because it's online and everybody lies online.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
Well, I'm telling you, it's happening, and it's happening big time, and it's happening a million times a day.
Yep. And also on today's show, we have writer, director, actor Kevin Smith.
Oh, he's always good.
Friend of the show coming into the studio. We will take a quick break and come back with the Ralph Showbiz Beat coming up next.
And now, a moment with Bean.
You're special on BS. What's the abbreviation you're especially you're doing on tonight?
That was a moment with Bean.
Leaves this reviewer cold. Well, doesn't live up to the standards of our badness.
I can't compete with the master, and I'm not trying to, but I'm just saying. Here in the top of the first inning for the year 2013, Kevin's already up 4-0.
Yeah, which I don't want to be.
Just saying. All right, it's Wednesday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks a lot for tuning in. Don't forget, destination number 3 of the K-Rock World Tour 2013 is happening. Black Keys at Lollapalooza in Brazil. We'll give you a chance to qualify for that at 9:10 this morning. And then throughout the day, details at krock.com. Good morning, Ralph Grammer.
Good morning.
What's going on?
This battle, I can't take it. I can't take this back and forth battle.
What battle?
Between Justin Bieber and Lady Gaga, Kevin.
Oh, I didn't realize there was a battle.
Who's the most followed person on Twitter?
No.
The lead just changed again.
Really?
Oh, I'm exhausted following this. Back and forth, back and forth. As of this morning, Justin has 33,374,041 followers.
Okay.
That's insane.
But Gaga has a mere 33,355,375 followers. Back and forth, back and forth.
Wow, this is...
The tension is too much.
It is tight. Is there a deadline?
No.
No.
Gaga, by the way, is still number one on Facebook. She has 55 million followers on Facebook, and Bieber's page just has a little over 50 million likes. So
jeez.
Gaga still owns Facebook.
What a loser. Only 50 million likes on Facebook.
Know.
And neither of those people have anything to say. That's my favorite part.
Yeah, I don't follow either of them. I can't imagine.
Neither do I, and that's what I was wondering. I mean, do you follow because you're a... Look, there are lots of people I'm a fan of but wouldn't follow on Twitter because they're not that interesting, but is it that you're hoping for some sort of exclusive or a chance to see something that nobody else can?
No, it is the fans' way of feeling I'm somehow connected to my favorite star. I follow them on Twitter. We have a direct line to each other, a direct pipeline. There's a connection. I can relate to that. Weird Al.
Al, I follow because he's a hilarious tweeter. That's why I follow him.
Yeah, that's why he does not follow you. The opposite is true.
How dare you?
Charlie Brown's a criminal.
What?
Charlie Brown is a criminal.
Finally.
The guy who is the voice of Charlie Brown and all those Peanuts cartoons.
Oh, no. This is Elmo all over again?
Yeah. He is set to be arraigned on Wednesday of counts of making a threat to cause death or great bodily injury and of stalking.
Charlie is angry.
Charlie Brown's a stalker.
Why couldn't he have just been a flasher or something else? Why does it have to be violent?
Because Lucy pulled that football out from under him one too many times.
He snapped.
Now bitch is going to get what she deserves.
So how old is that? I mean, those specials were made in the 60s when I assume he was a kid or very young.
Yes.
So he's got to be, what, 50 now?
As I mentioned, the 56-year-old is set to be arraigned on Wednesday.
Wow, that's sad.
Yeah. His name is Peter Robbins, but I'll always know him as Blockhead. Look, the guy was bound to snap. He never got any Valentines.
True.
No one ever invited him to any parties.
That's true.
Never got any Christmas cards. He got that stupid tree that nobody liked.
That's true.
That's right.
He had a hard, hard life as a kid. Life. No wonder he grew up screwed up.
He went trick-or-treating. He got a rock. I mean, nothing but bad times for Charlie Brown.
Where are you, Chuck?
Where are you, Chuck?
In jail.
Where he should be. All of them should be. All those peanuts. Peanuts gang. Marauding the streets, looking for great pumpkins and stuff. They were all bad news.
For felony, not funny.
That's right.
How dare you.
And just to recap, in case you missed it, ABC has announced the cast of their upcoming reality show, Celebrity Diving. This is not to be confused with Stars in Danger, High Diving. Okay, let's get that straight. These are very different shows.
So what is Celebrity Diving?
Well, Stars in Danger, High Diving, was celebrities diving off of the high board into the water.
Okay.
Celebrity Diving will be celebrities diving off of the high board into water.
Oh.
They sound the same, though, Ralph. Aren't
those
they
the
same show?
Same words.
Oh, my God, you guys. You just
You're not
don't
really
get
paying
it,
attention.
You just don't get it.
How can two different companies greenlight this idea?
Quick, let's get our diving show on the air first.
It shouldn't have been greenlit once in the first place. Yeah. Who's doing it now?
On the woman's side, we've got Baywatch star Nicole Eggert.
All right.
You can't do anything water-related in Hollywood without trotting out someone from the Baywatch cast.
That's true.
Yeah, the other show had David Chokichi, right?
Exactly. Girl Next Door's Kendra Wilkinson.
Oh.
All right, they're going in
former
a good
Playboy,
direction.
Playboy playmate and girlfriend of Hef. Catherine Webb, former Miss Alabama and girlfriend of A.J. McCarron.
Well, this show wins.
Keisha Knight Pulliam from the Cosby Kids.
Don't know
she
what
she was Rudy.
Like okay.
Yeah. On the men's side, we've got Drake Bell from Nickelodeon.
Kevin, you remember Josh and Drake?
Sure.
Chewy, the midget from Chelsea Lately.
Don't watch that, but okay.
Why isn't our midget on this show? Our midget's way better than their midget.
I know. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. The men's side is just all freaks.
Kareem's
midget,
feet will...
They've got Kareem.
His feet will still be on the diving board when he touches the water.
Dominic and Sue from the Lions. The guy who kicks people and hits people. The dirty shot artist from the Detroit Lions.
Oh, good.
Defensive tackle, Ndamukong and Sue. And comedian Louis Anderson.
Oh,
fat.
My God.
Way fat.
All right.
Really?
Round mound of rebound.
I've got him in the pool if we get to pick.
Well, if there's a cannonball competition, there will be no doubt who's going to win, but I do not believe that's what they're shooting
for.
They'll
have to refill the pool.
So it's all like semi-hotties on the women's side and all physical freaks for the most part on the men's side.
I missed the last disaster. When is this disaster?
This disaster, let's see, it debuts March the 19th, Kevin. So there's plenty of time.
Long.
Plenty of time for you to set up your DVR and to get ready for Celebrity Diving.
That's unbelievable.
You know, you can make some room. You can just delete Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 23 off your DVR in case you had a channel set up for that.
Why?
ABC has announced they have canceled the sitcom. I cannot imagine why. That's all everyone talked about. Wait a minute.
I don't know
anyone who's ever seen an episode.
Me either.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Richard Dean Anderson. Mother effin' MacGyver. That's all you need to know. He can make a bomb out of your shoelace and those headphones you're wearing and that sweatshirt. 63 years old today. Sully Sullenberg.
Oh, Captain Sully.
Captain Chelsea Sully Sullenberg. He is 62 years old today. He's
Didn't
that dude who
landed
that plane.
But he was drunk, though, remember?
Yeah, way drunk. Yeah.
Cocaine in his system.
Reason he could have done it. It's the only reason
he
could.
That was the movie Flight.
Bang that check right before he took off. The whole deal.
It's
Denzel Washington.
It's very different.
The Honorable Mayor of Los Angeles, Antonio Villaraigosa, is 60 years old today. Actress Mariska Hargitay celebrates her 49th birthday. Actress Tiffany Thiessen.
Oh.
We used to know her from Saved by the Bell, but now I think she's probably equally famous for her work on White Collar. She's great on that show. 39 years old. Bassist Nick Harmer of Death Cab for Cutie is 38. And Tito Ortiz, an Orange County resident, best known as his one of the early icons of mixed martial arts. He celebrates his 38th birthday.
But the emotion, too much for Tito.
His birthday may be too much for Tito. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Cannot stress enough, we had so much fun with Paramore in our studio here yesterday. We're so looking forward to Muse coming in today. And I can't stress enough that you need to be with us in the 8 o'clock hour. Muse will be here ahead of their show at Staples Center tonight. Love those guys. Very chatty guys, very fun guys. I think it's going to be a good time.
Let's talk about catfishing, shall we?
Yes, please.
That's got to be the word of 2013 so far, a practice that most people hadn't heard of. And now all of a sudden, almost everybody knows what a catfish is. But for folks who don't, catfish comes from a documentary that was made a couple of years ago about this guy who met this chick on Facebook that he really developed strong feelings for. She was super hot. Her name was Megan. And he decided to do a documentary about their relationship and going to visit her for the first time. And it turned out, surprise, surprise, Kevin, she was nothing like the person that she identified herself as online.
She was lying? She was exaggerating?
She was bigger. She was older. She was, married. She had used somebody else's photo, and the whole thing just unraveled, and it was very unsettling. And I think a lot of people saw that and went, what? And now, of course, it's back in the news because of Manti Te'o, the player for Notre Dame.
Manti Te'o says that he was catfished. He says that he thought she was real.
Mm-hmm.
And until he got a phone call allegedly from her 3 months after she died. Anyway, here's some of the story about that. And then we're going to take your calls if you've been on either end of this, of catfishing. Take your calls if you were catfished.
Or if you've been
a catfisher. At 1-800-520-1067. Here's the story.
Tonight, we learned the hoax was much bigger than Manti Te'o.
I really think at the time, they were just messaging anybody that was, well-known in the Polynesian community.
Beauty queen Tessie Tulutau says she was one of at least four people duped by a social media prankster who fabricated an entirely new person.
So, if you're not paying very close attention, the whole thing where he was, his girlfriend died and all that kind of stuff, and questions were, was he lying? Mm-hmm. Apparently,
right.
The story is, somebody else was lying to him.
Mm-hmm. And he believed it.
But what a dumbass, first of all.
But then he did lie about seeing her then,
yeah,
because he was embarrassed that he had this online
that
girlfriend.
That he was an idiot, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Let's continue.
Who for years acted as Tessie's pal and the Notre Dame star's girlfriend. Te'o wrote, "She keeps talking like she knows everyone, and I'm like thinking, it's a prank." In fact, Te'o and Tessie questioned whether that fake person, Lene Kakua, was real as far back as 2010. So, who created that fake person that fooled so many? Victims say Renaya Tuisa Sopo, a devout Christian musician and a church leader. But
a church leader?
Hmm.
Really?
A church leader.
With a devilish hobby.
Secretly, Renaya Tuisa Sopo allegedly was enlisting friends and even his 9-year-old sister to trick the Notre Dame linebacker into believing his fake girlfriend was real.
Hey, I gotta go out to the market, 9-year-old. Talk sexy to Te'o.
The nearly 4-year deception began to unravel in early December when Te'o received a phone call from Lene Kakua, the girlfriend he thought was real, 3 months after she was supposed to have died of leukemia.
And I just went on a rampage. Like, how could you do this to me?
We now know 5 people who've been duped into believing this beautiful woman was real.
5 different people about that same woman.
Who played the part of the girl on the phone to call Te'o?
I don't know. I didn't watch enough of the story to find that out.
You know, I get like trying to joke with someone, but 4 years? There's something that's seriously evil.
Supposedly, this guy was a friend of Monty.
Yeah, I don't get that.
Was a friend.
And then killed her off.
Maybe he killed her off because he saw that it was getting to be too big a story.
4 years?
And listen, I'm with you.
Come on.
And what's the payoff for doing that, by the way? What's the prank? Is it just that then you can then laugh at your friend? Hey, I got you?
Probably.
I mean, is that the goal here?
Probably.
Well, we want to take your calls, as Kevin mentioned, at 1-800-520-1067. If you've been on either end of either perpetrating the hoax for fun or you've been the victim of, you met someone online, thought you had a serious relationship with them, and found out either they didn't exist at all or they were nothing like you thought they were going to be. This guy who did the Catfish movie, who now, by the way, is the guy on the Catfish television show on MTV, which is one of their most popular shows. He has some tips for you if you're involved in an internet relationship like this. For instance, and this is fascinating to me, and this directly relates to the Teo story, he tells online daters to beware of tales of devastating accidents or illness. Munchausen syndrome. It happens a lot. Turns out people enjoy lying about their health on the internet. Why do you suppose that is? Why does that make it more fun to tell somebody that I'm dying?
I would be willing to bet it's because you get the sympathy, belief, and response. And
it ropes people in faster.
Yes. And you can't blow people off after they've told you they've got cancer.
If the person you're talking to has a series of family incidents, illness, oftentimes cancer, that's something to watch out for. All right, get suspicious of those who claim on Facebook to be in the modeling profession. There's a good chance the beautiful model you're talking to is not looking for love online with a stranger. Not to say models aren't lonely and looking for affection, but if the person you're talking to is a model, especially a model slash something else, watch out for that. Here's a great tip. Do a reverse image search on any photos they send you, like Google image search. You might just find out that the love of your life is actually a stock model photo, or had Teo done this, he would have found that photo might have matched up with that girl's Facebook page that the photo was pulled from.
I didn't know you
could just
do
a different
image search.
Google image search. Yeah, exactly. Get your digital stalk on is tip number four. You should Google your lady or dude. If the digital trail is sparse, be suspicious. Check out your romantic interest social network. Do those friends look real? And again, that relates perfectly to this Teo story because that's one of the things that Deadspin told people about why they were so strongly suspicious of the entire story is because the girl had zero digital footprint. She didn't have her own Facebook page. She didn't have any records at school. She didn't have photos anywhere. That's why they thought she might have been made up in the first place. And number five, and Kevin, this is going to be the one that you would have probably brought up. If it's somebody you think you care about, you need to demand that they make the effort to video chat with you. Skype them.
At the very least, Skype them.
Anybody can Skype.
If you're a quarterback for Notre Dame, if you don't meet a girl face-to-face, she's not your girlfriend.
Right.
Yeah. I don't care how much you've been talking to whoever they are online.
And the man behind Catfish, the final line of his advice to everyone dating on the internet, if you meet someone online, do not call them your boyfriend or girlfriend until you meet them face to face.
There you go. Sorry.
You could have written this article, Kevin. All right, let's talk real quick to Evan. Evan is on line three, joins us at 1-800-520-1067. We're talking catfishing this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. We want to hear if you've been on either side of this kind of internet deception. Evan, welcome to the show. Thanks for calling.
All right. Well, thank you a lot, guys. And Lisa May, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi. What happened to you?
All right. So I am on this dating website called It's Plenty of Fish. So, so go figure on that one.
How about that?
It's right in the title.
Hey, there's plenty of cats, plenty of fish.
There's plenty of catfish and I'm plenty of fish. Absolutely. Yeah. But no, so I was talking to this girl. I stayed for like a few weeks and then we ended up dating for about a month. She told me how she was raised a certain way. She was a certain type of religion. She had a certain job, blah, 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 blah. So then after like about a month, I wanted to try and send her flowers to her work. So then I called the work and they were like, she doesn't work here.
Sweet.
Uh-huh. So then everything started to go ahead like an unravel. So she lied to me about her job, her upbringing, her family, just like everything.
Did you ever meet her?
I ended up dating for about a month, and then everything started
to unravel. Dating. Oh, I see. Okay.
Oh, I see. So why did she make up all those stories? I mean, if she was, in fact, a real person who was willing to date you, why did she create that fake backstory?
Well, here was her excuse of when I caught her. She said that she wanted to try and impress me because I had a good upbringing, came from a wealthy family, and she didn't. So she thought that I wouldn't date her unless she had this money.
Oh, I see.
Oh, how about that?
So she changed her entire everything that's true about her. It was her that you saw. You saw a picture of her?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
so it was her, but just she made up all the background.
She, I guess, a physical person was real and legit.
How was the breakup?
The breakup was... Well, it was easy, for me, it's because I had all the facts down. But then as soon as I called her out on everything, she froze. And then she started crying, tried to beg me back.
Oh, no.
And then, so I ended it. I got about, I'm not even kidding you, about 45 text messages afterwards. So
yeah.
So it was like stage five clinger, stage like five red flag, run for the hill status.
Evan, it's, you're just such a prize.
Evan,
let you go.
Thank you for the call. Earl writes in, hey, Bean, you asked what the payoff is to the prank on Teo. How about this? Get in his head and distract the team right before the national championship game and then bet the house on the other team to win, which, of course, they did. All right, 1-800-520-1067. Dan, you hang on. Santino, you too. We're taking your calls on catfishing. If you've been on either side of it, we want to talk to you next on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Right now, we're talking about catfishing here on the Kevin and Bean Show, those internet relationships that are not what you think they are. Why don't we start with Melinda here at 1-800-520-1067. Hi, Melinda, if that really is your name.
Yes, that's my name.
So were you playing a prank on someone else, or are you the one who got deceived online?
I got deceived online and kind of in person, too. I met a guy on OkCupid.
Okay.
And when we actually did meet in person, he claimed to be a radio DJ, well, an internet radio DJ on BBC. He gave me his business card. He said he had, you know, he was in the military in the UK. He was in the U.S. Army.
Right.
He did the whole sympathy story, too. He said he was married. He had a daughter who died of leukemia.
Oh.
Which totally got me as well. Anyways, when I finally started, like, oh, I want to know more about this guy, and I started Googling him, I found a picture that lined up with the different name that he gave me on the business card of a different guy. I was like, wait a second, this doesn't make sense. All the information I could find him didn't date past 2 months from the date that I had met him. I couldn't find any past information on him.
Interesting.
He had a fake Wikipedia page for his artist, his DJ artist that he made up, or that he was actually stealing someone's identity. So he ended up being a fugitive on the run.
Oh, my God.
What was he running from the police for?
He had been arrested for identity theft, credit card theft, rent theft auto.
How'd you find that out?
I found out because this was around November of 2009. In January of 2010, I kept going back to the Wikipedia page because I'm like, this guy's going to get caught. This guy's going to get caught. Finally, it was posted that he was arrested. He was committing identity theft. I then found his real name. Based on his real name, I found a woman who he had also duped in the past.
Wow.
And there was probably a comment thread of 45 different comments of all the people he had affected here in L.A.
Wow.
Like 3 months that he was here.
Now, Melinda, because we only have about 30 seconds left with you here, was his goal to make up a compelling story so that he could have sex with you, or was he trying to fleece you financially somehow?
Well, he was having sex with everyone he was meeting, number one. Number two, he was trying to steal money from everyone.
A is always true. B sometimes.
Wow. How about that? Well, you're going to be a little bit more careful next time you're on OkCupid, I bet, right?
Yep.
Okay. Sorry. Well, thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it, Melinda. All right, let's talk to Santino real quick, because Santino is the first person who called in who was on the other side of the catfishing. He's the one who was, wiggling his bait in the water. Hey, Santino, what's going on?
Nothing much. So my cousin and I, when we were 14, we created this MySpace profile that we just took some buff-looking dude's picture off of images.google.com, and we said we were a firefighter, part-time model. And, like, a lot of great things, you know, never smoked, never drink, we love children, all this other stuff.
Basically,
a roadmap of how to get a woman.
Oh, yeah.
At 14, smart.
All right, go ahead.
So he started adding a lot of the older women around the neighborhood. But one lady, she, like, fell in love with the profile. She was sending us messages every day. She was commenting on everything we put up. And so we were just, like, messing around with her and stuff, and we were like, all right, meet us at this park, and we're going to pick you up, and we're going to take you out. So my cousin and I, we rode our bikes to the park, and there she was, like, in her car waiting. We asked her to wear a red shirt, and she was wearing this, like, really nice, like, kind of sexy red shirt.
Right.
And there she was waiting. She waited for an hour, and then she left.
You pulled up on bikes.
Was it just fun for you to see how far you could get it, or were you doing it because you could talk the girls into sending you naked pictures, or what was in it for you guys?
Yeah, it was like, at first it was just for fun, just mess around, and then like, women, like, I didn't think they were going to believe the picture that we pulled off.
Right.
But they did, and they started, like, we were asking for pictures, they would send pictures, and then stuff like that. It was just funny, really fun. We were going to take them out on our pegs.
Wrong.
And that's code.
Thank you, Ted Tito. Appreciate the call. So what's the moral of the story here, Kevin? You went into this just saying everybody who falls for this is stupid.
Yeah, everybody that falls for this is stupid. Well, yeah, I would assume everyone's lying, even though everyone's not. And then just make sure. Vet them, meet them. Do a little check it out. Don't believe wholeheartedly. And certainly if you're in the spotlight like this quarterback for Notre Dame, what a
linebacker.
Dumbass.
Linebacker. I just wish I hadn't sent my naked photos to Santino. Now I feel bad. Kevin Smith joins us after the top of the hour here on Carrick. What's Smitty talking about today? Ralph, what's he here for? Do you know?
He's got a lot going on. He's got some TV projects in the works. He's got Jay and Silent Bob Get Old tonight at the Lovitz. Friday night at 10, it's Hollywood Babylon with myself at the Lovitz.
Mom, so he's just being a whore, a promo whore today.
A lot of live shows, but a lot of interesting things coming up. Clerks 3 now has been announced. It's in the works. That is in pre-production. So he's a very busy, very talented man with a lot going on.
If he was coming in, we could ask him about that stuff.
He's a promo whore. Who wants to talk to him? He just knows how to ingratiate himself with our guests. Doesn't he? Really just gives them all a virtual hug.
He's a lover, not a fighter.
Why doesn't anyone know who you are? Why are you bad? Why are you promoting things and being an a-hole?
We do find ourselves constantly backtracking to what Bean just said and trying to smooth
so
things
sorry
over.
Saying I'm sorry for that guy, that voice, that disembodied voice. I'm sorry for the Wizard of Oz.
I'm the little kid who shouldn't be allowed to talk to the guests that come to the house, basically, is what's going
you
on.
You should
here.
Be the little kid who should be chained in the basement.
How dare you. Kevin Smith coming up next. Muse in the 8 o'clock hour. Adam Carolla at 9. Right now, Ralph Garman's here with the Showbiz Beat.
Speaking of movies, how about tickets to a red carpet world premiere? That would be cool, wouldn't it?
Yes. Sure.
Be even cooler if it was an awesome movie like Warm Bodies.
Yay!
Well, you're in luck, because that's what I have passes for. The red carpet premiere of Warm Bodies happening January the 29th at the Cinerama Dome, the legendary Cinerama Dome. There at the Sunset and Vine? I think so. Warm Bodies is an hilarious romantic comedy. It's the first zombie romantic comedy I can think of.
Yeah, there aren't many.
There aren't. Nicholas Hoult plays a zombie who becomes involved with the girlfriend of one of his victims, and he starts to fall in love with her. And as he does, he becomes less zombie, more human. Love actually starts to heal him.
Did his heart grow a couple sizes bigger?
It grows a few sizes that day. Teresa Palmer also stars, along with John Malkovich. If you'd like to go see this movie at the Red Carpet World Premiere, why don't you give me a call right now? 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. First five callers who get through will win a pair of passes to attend the Red Carpet Premiere of Warm Bodies. And as I mentioned, if you miss out, don't feel bad, because it's in theaters everywhere on Friday, February the 1st. All right, let's talk television now. The long-threatened Beverly Hills Cop TV show is one step closer to reality.
All right!
CBS gave the order yesterday to produce a pilot for the show. As I've mentioned before, Eddie Murphy will return as Axel Foley on the show, but in a supporting role. He'll be the chief of police in Detroit now, and the show's mainly about his son, Aaron, who's a cop struggling to make it. Where? In Beverly Hills. That's right, you've guessed it.
What are the chances?
Brandon T. Jackson.
Woo!
Has already been cast as his son, so they're going forward. Eddie Murphy on TV.
They're almost going to get that TV show on before the movie goes out of the theaters, you know? Who's with me?
I don't know what you're saying.
What? I don't.
They're going to get a TV show on before the movie gets out of the theaters. That was like 30 years ago. Beverly Hills Cop.
Oh, the sequel? Is there a sequel?
For God's sakes, no.
Oh.
I was making
There's
a joke
a new
about
Beverly Hills
no.
Cop movie now?
When you have to explain it, it's bad, right?
Yes.
Some might see it that way.
It was like 30 years ago. I'm making fun of how long it's taken for them to get to a TV show.
Gotcha.
Never mind.
Kevin.
I'm sorry. I apologize to all. I will fall on my sword.
Casting news. Aaron Sorkin's drama, The Newsroom, has its upcoming second season on HBO in the works. They were going to have Rosemary DeWitt. I love her. She's a great actress as one of the roles on the show, but she had to leave due to some scheduling conflicts. So they are reshooting all of her stuff and any future stuff with Marcia Gay Harden. Not a bad choice if you're looking for a good actress as well. So that should be exciting on that show. James Brolin has picked up the coveted role of Castle's dad, Nathan Fillion's dad, on the TV show Castle. He'll be stepping in, and they'll be saving those episodes for the winter sweeps in February.
I've heard that he is a real jerk.
James Brolin?
Look at this arrogant prick.
I love Judy Brolin.
I think he's gay.
No, he's not. He's been married to Barbra Streisand for many years, and he is a very nice guy. Actually, had a circumstance to meet him once, and he looked at me, and I looked at him, and...
Love at first
sight. Really?
I got the sense he was feeling the same thing I was, which is, what the hell are we doing at this Barbra Streisand concert? I actually had a chance to go backstage and meet her, which was very impressive because she's a massive megastar.
You
right?
got to meet Barbra Streisand?
Yes, yes.
I don't think I've ever heard this story before. Wow.
Several years ago. And he was there just like leaning against the wall. I think he just felt like, ugh. I just don't want to be here.
Yeah.
Because everyone's fawning all over Barbra naturally, and she's a big star.
Well, and
I
how
get
many
that.
Times can you sit there and watch it?
That's what
right?
I'm thinking. Yeah. And he's like, oh, I've been through this all before. And I had gone with a friend, and I'm not a huge Barbra Streisand fan, but I can appreciate her her stardom, so it was an exciting moment for me. But I felt sort of out of place myself. I just looked over, and he looked at me, I looked at him, and he just started laughing, and I started laughing.
You both walked out?
We had an unspoken moment that we'd rather be, I don't know, drinking a cocktail somewhere. That's how I got the sense, but... And this is bad news. Ready for Baywatch the movie?
No.
Ready for the big screen Baywatch?
Does it star Hasselhoff?
No.
Then
they're going to get that in theaters almost as soon as the TV show leaves the air.
I could have delivered that.
No, it's perfect. Made perfect sense. Hasselhoff will have a cameo in the film, apparently, as will Pamela Anderson. But this is sort of a... one of those spoofy reboots, like a spoof remake. Remember when they did the Starsky and Hutch movie with Ben Stiller and Owen Wilson? It was like a comic take on Starsky and Hutch.
Yeah.
It wasn't really the actual show. They sort of did they made fun of it while they rebooted it. This Baywatch has the same plans. It looks like Bill Hader from Saturday Night Live will play the role of Mitch Buchanan, the lead.
This one comes down to who plays the women for
lead
me.
Lifeguard in the Baywatch movie. So they're going to have some fun at Baywatch's expense, to which I would say, how do you spoof something?
Yeah.
How do you parody a parody? I guess we'll all find out. Or some people who go to see that movie will find out.
Let us know.
Let me know
or
how
don't.
It works out. Yeah, either way, I'm good. And I found this was interesting. Celebrities traveling under assumed names. A lot of celebrities, when they travel, don't like to check into a hotel under their own name.
Sure.
Because they don't want to be discovered and they don't want to be hassled.
It's funny sometimes what they pick.
So they come up with euphemistic pseudonyms so they won't be bothered. Interesting list on the internet today. Justin Timberlake, for example, checks in at different hotels under the name Mr. Woodpond.
Mr. Woodpond?
Woodpond, yes.
Okay.
I don't know what that
means.
Must
mean something to him.
Must be.
Maybe. Timberlake.
Timberlake Wood Pond.
Oh. Did Beer Mug just put that together?
Beer Mug solved that.
What?
We should all kill ourselves.
We should. We should have a mass suicide.
Every one of us should die.
It should be like the Jonestown Massacre in here. We should all just drink the Kool-Aid.
Except for Beer Mug. He wins.
This should be Hail Bop time. We should all put on our Nikes and get our silver dollars and just lie down in the cot.
Yeah.
I now hate everyone but Beer Mug.
How could he have seen that so easily when the rest of us were like, I don't get it. Wow.
I'm very disappointed.
Maybe all
in
those
us.
Calories have given him super brain power.
I don't think so.
Kristen Stewart checks in under the name Chuck Steak. See what she did there? Because that's a cut of meat. I don't know anything beyond
that's
that.
That's her acting Muggs, teacher, I think.
Muggs, you got anything for that?
That's just dumb.
All right.
Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt. Jasmine and Bryce Pilaf.
That's
Bryce Pilaf.
That won't raise any eyebrows.
That's funny.
Bryce Pilaf. This is Kevin. There's a Rice Pilaf.
No, I get it.
I don't think you do.
That one I get, but I'm going to wait for Beer Mug.
And while we're talking about Jasmine's...
What if your name was Asshor?
Yes. Porn star Kim Kardashian.
Oh, I played it too early.
Yeah, you did.
What if your name was Asshor?
That's what she checks in under. No, she checks in under Princess Jasmine.
Ugh.
Of course, she has to be a princess.
Right.
What are you, eight?
And that's from some Disney movie, yes. I bet, right?
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah, Jasmine
Aladdin
was
or something.
Aladdin, right, yeah.
Yeah.
I hate her. Princess Jasmine. That won't call attention to you when you check into the hotel.
Not a bit.
Bryce Pilaf is what I'm saying.
That is funny.
That is funny.
That's the winner.
Woodpond.
Yeah.
Man, oh
hair
man.
Hair lip.
Bean, right. You didn't get that before Muggs, right?
No.
Nope, I didn't. Ralph didn't. Lisa didn't.
Nope.
No.
How is that
We're
possible?
Sad.
that beer mug figured something out before we did.
Oh.
That's truly disturbing me.
It's turned my entire world upside
down. It's really bothering me.
Me too.
I'm not, this is not a radio prank.
Me too.
I'm genuinely disturbed by that.
Me too. Mugs, really, had you seen that
me.
Article ahead of time or something?
Great
had
question.
Heard it previously?
Yes.
No, I swear to God.
Yeah,
please say yes.
Uh-huh. You
please.
Heard it. You
I did not.
For our sake, say
not.
Yes.
I did not.
You heard Shotgun Tom Kelly say it yesterday or
no.
something.
I believe it or not, I do have some cunning wit to me.
Oh, now I hate you even more than I did a minute ago. Today's celebrity birthdays. Richard Dean Anderson of MacGyver fame is 63 years old. Antonio Villaraigosa, our very own mayor of the great city of Los Angeles, is 60 years old. Mariska Hargitay from Law & Order, SUV. She just drives around in a big truck and picks up groceries all day. She's 49 years old. Tiffany Thiessen. From Saved by the Bell, and of course now currently can be seen in White Collar. She is 39
that
years old.
Back.
Yeah, it was back last night, I think, for the first episode. Nick Harmer, bassist for Death Cab for Cutie, is 38, and MMA star Tito Ortiz is 38 years old as well. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Look, Kevin Smith is weird. We all know that.
What?
But he now insists we play Third Eye Blind every time we bring him on, which is just a bizarre request. Like, why?
I want something else, all right?
Jay and Silent Bob, get old. Hold on, Kevin. At the Laugh Factory tonight in Hollywood. Tickets available through csmod.com for tonight, just $20. And, of course, the Hollywood Babylon returns to the Lovitz this Friday night with his friend Ralph Garman. Tickets are also available for that. All right, Kevin, you said you've got a story you can't wait to get on the air. What's going on?
I am bursting. I'm not going to say – well, I tell a lot of stories, and I'm not going to say – this is the greatest story of all time, but this is hands down the weirdest story that I've ever been involved in.
Fantastic.
Happened mere – not even 40 minutes ago.
Really?
Fantastic. Like this.
All right.
I wake up and I'm awake and I like to get centered when I wake up.
Mm-hmm.
So
I smell it.
Check my tweets.
You smell your center.
I can.
And when I say centered, I mean be with my wife. And when she says she can smell it, I don't know what that means.
Okay.
Is your wife a bong? Lately, yes. In any event, that has no bearing on the story. This
right, okay.
I don't see things. I just focus and organize and center. It's like a program you slip in. The brain.
All right.
My dogs wake up with me. I bring them down to my office every morning. Three dogs left. Used to have four. Mulder, Scully. Scully passed, so now there's just Mulder.
Aww.
And the truth is out there somewhere. We have Louie, who's a brown lab. The other two are yellow labs. And then Shecky is the dachshund. I've talked about her many times. And on one of the evening lists, I tell a story about, you know, her first time with a large dog and stuff like that. She's our corporate logo at Smodco.
Ah, okay.
I dig this dog. And, you know, she's a wiener dog, so it's just funny in and of itself. And I got a miniature wiener. I didn't know there was a large and a small, so I got an even smaller wiener, which is really appropriate.
Yes.
So this dog and me, every morning get up. She follows my cues. When I go walking in the hills to exercise, she's the one that comes with me. So rolling around the camera, you'll always see fat guy and a little dog.
I love that.
That should be a new TV show.
I'm pitching that.
Yeah, right.
I leave here.
You got room.
So me.
Fat guy and a little wiener, though. That's what you need to name
You
it.
Could get away with that.
You could.
Totally. Not even on Fox. Like, not just on Fox.
That's
you
true.
Get away with that on NBC now. So I go to my office. I hang there for a while, check tweets and email and whatnot, get centered, until the dogs are like, we want to go out. We want to go out. Because going out requires going upstairs, right?
Right.
And Mulder is now very old. He's 14. He can't get up the stairs, so you got to put him into the elevator / dumbwaiter. And then once you put him in the doors, you close it, he barks incessantly because a few times I put him in the elevator and I forget.
All right.
And then like
just
a half an hour
centered.
Later, you just hear this ghostly like, woof. And you're like, oh, my Lord. So the door closes. He's woof, woof, woof. So I put him in the elevator. He's starting woofing. I go up the stairs. Shecky's with me. And my whole life with this dog, we live, you know, in the Hollywood Hills. A lot of wildlife, but we never have, like, coyotes come on the property. We hear them all the time.
Yeah, they're always around.
Can't let your small animals or even large animals out. They travel in packs, sound like hyenas in the distance. Very unnerving. You'll be there in the quiet of the night, and all of a sudden you just hear, whoa, 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 and something screeching, losing its life. You realize it's a neighbor's cat. You hug your little pet closer.
Glad you don't have a cat.
Thank God. A long time ago, I took her out to go outside. We have a top deck and whatnot. So I take her out on the deck. She's going to the bathroom. And I look up and I see birds of prey. I saw a hawk circling. I was like, that's weird. I've never seen that here in the hills. And I've certainly never seen it this low.
Right.
And then I put two and two together. I was like, oh, my Lord.
he's bird of preying that little dog. Like, he's looking at the dog as a treat. And so from breakfast. That moment forward, yeah, I got real tight. And my wife's like, you're paranoid. And this is even before the weed. And I was like, no, man, I swear that bird was zeroing in. And I looked up in the internet, and there are all sorts of instances of birds of prey snatching little animals and going off. So you, every once in a while, there's a crimson video or two. And it is heartbreaking, dude. Like, whenever you see a rabbit get taken off by an owl and that screech, I'm like, I never want that to happen to my little dog. So whenever I let her out, I've for years now, I've always been a bit vigilant.
You're supposed to be, yeah.
Lately, I've been a bit more lax because I'm like, you know, it's never happened. Maybe she's right. I am paranoid or not. You're right to be paranoid. This morning, I go out, let the dogs out. We have the pool. We have the pool on the rooftop. Bought Affleck's house. Pool on the roof. Top floor. If there's an earthquake, we all die and drown in an earthquake.
Drown. It's like a Poseidon adventure.
It's ridiculous. It's Irwin Allen waiting to happen. So I'm on the top deck. The other two dogs, they go off. Shecky usually hangs around the pool area, and she walks the perimeter of this pool. It's not a huge pool. It's more like a lap pool. Or
and then
dip
she
pool.
Pees in the pool.
Very close. I'm always watching these dogs, and they get so dangerously close, man. But they somehow know. They're like, we better not. We'll get beat. So there's Shecky walking by the edge of the pool, and I'm still kind of like doing the morning stretch. And I'm ever alert because we're in a pretty wide open area. If you're on the top like Runyon Canyon, you got a telephoto. You'd be like, there he is, fat guy. So
fat guy, little dog.
Fat guy, little dog. And somebody pitches that. I swear, this is no lie, dude. So I'm kind of waking up, and I look in the distance, near distance, and something catches my periphery, and it's coming low. And at this point, your mind is firing, and different synapses going like, I can't, this is weird. Like, it's unnatural. Nothing is normally in this viewpoint.
Right.
The moment it starts processing, this is unbelievable. I felt like Batman, dude. I saw an owl. The size, like the outstretching of my hand, coming so low to my deck, dude, that like when I looked and I'm slowing things down,
owl.
Peter Parker style.
Right.
Maybe 10 feet if I had to. I measure things in jaws where they go, that's a 20 foot or 25. So everything to me is done in terms of 25 feet. So this is half a jaw's length away from me in distance.
Okay.
There's this owl, man. Like, and you have a second to be like, holy crap, because you never see it. And at first I think, like, this thing's coming at me. But I see it coming low, and I look, and that's when I see the dog is right near me. And the dog's facing in the other direction. This is where it gets nuts, dude. My first instinct, I always joke about, like, if I encountered threat, man, I try to fillet it away and stuff like that. I don't do well with danger.
You're
or
a lover,
risk
not a
manager.
Fighter.
Absolutely.
I'm surprised you don't get robbed all the time that out there.
People know, and still, they must figure I'm bad at it. They're like, he says he's never done it. Why would I want to be
the
first?
Break into the front door and drop trowel.
I am that guy. I don't confront things. I'm not a fighter or anything like that. Jason Mewes would be the smart one and be like, I grabbed it with my fingers and choked it to death. I'm not that guy. But I had enough presence of mind. We're standing by the pool, and there's this pool to it, this circular, dopey thing that for months now, nobody goes in this damn pool. My wife put it in there at the beginning of summer, and it kind of mocks us and the pool as it just hauntingly floats around,
right.
Unplayed with its lost a lot of air. So many times I almost just pulled it out of the pool and like, get rid of this. It was within reach, man. And this sounds crazy, dude. I had the presence of mind with half a jaw's length away from this bird to grab this pool toy. I'm trying to watch my language because I was telling the story before. I'm like, I grabbed this pool toy, dude, and swung, and I hit an owl.
What?
I'm not lying, dude.
You hit it in the air?
I hit it in the
landed?
Air. It was the perfect connection. You would have thought I trained for this my whole life.
You're an owl ninja.
This pool toy, and I don't know where the wherewithal came from, the spin, but I just grabbed it, like, innately, because it's coming, and I'm like, I got a few seconds for this thing's going to grab this dog, and I can't hear those screams, and I'm not going to wrestle the owl. And I grab this thing, pap, it hit my pool chair, glanced up, and took off again.
And flew away.
And I watched it, go up and circle back, and I grabbed my pool toy, and I get into this position, but then it circled and went the other way over Runyon. Dude, I've never been involved with nature like that. It was such a rush. Like,
man,
I enjoy
versus animal.
I enjoy getting centered. And I, look, let's be honest. I like smoking weed.
Sure.
This blew that away. Now all I want to do is punch owls out of the air.
Did you yell when it circled back? You want more?
I didn't because it was early in the morning.
I got
but
more.
I swear to you, I wanted to start screaming for my wife because I'm like, this is the greatest thing I've ever done in my life. Like, the chances that I saved the dog are nil, almost none.
If you had that on video, would it be the best movie you were ever associated with?
Hands down, sir. Yeah. They wouldn't say Clerks, Kevin Smith Clerks. They would say Kevin Smith Owl Puncher.
Dude,
you want to talk about a show to pitch, dude. I'm going to take the dude from Joe Schmo, your character, Ralph's character, and make you the Owl Puncher. Dude, that I swear to you, I almost want to give up everything. I'm like, That's it. You could check me out of this world, man. Now I know what I was here for. Last night, I gave my daughter a really good piece of advice, and I came up to the bedroom. I told my wife, I was like, I honestly feel like I was put on this earth not to do these movies and stuff, but to give this kid the data she needs to go on the right path. Like, she's going to do it. She's going to do something special and whatnot. I think that's why I'm here.
Wrong.
BS.
Wrong.
I think I was I might have been in the time stream of things. If you cloud atlas this nonsense, my place in the universe was to be on my deck this morning to save that little dog from an owl.
That was your Star Wars moment. That was your lightsaber moment right there.
That's the trench run right there.
There it is.
But I didn't even have Han Solo.
But never do it again because it would be disappointing. Yeah.
I'm owl smasher. Owls like crazy now. Dude, I never even seen an owl that close.
Me either.
They're pretty scary. This one
Kevin
was scary.
Smith is here. Keep your owls away from him, man. He's got no time for your owl. Jay and Silent Bob get old tonight. Hollywood Babble on Friday. We'll talk about those when we return right after this on the World Famous K-Rock.
Thank you, Lisa. It's the World Famous K-Rock. It is the Kevin and Bean. Ralph is here and Owl Man is here joining us today.
I will take it. I deserve it.
Superhero Owl Man.
I didn't even make the connection, but Ralph was just like, and now that you faced an owl, you have to put on an owl costume.
Yeah, moment. Just be perched on the top of a building.
Right. Kevin Smith is here. Listen, because of that story, which, by the way, it was worth whatever time it took to tell the story, but because of that, we are very short on time for this break, so I want to make sure that we get the plugs in for why people need to come to Jay and Silent Bob Get Old tonight at the Laugh Factory and what's going on with the Hollywood Babylon on Friday night. Go, Kevin.
Tonight is me and Jason Mewes doing our debut on the Sunset Strip, which means a little dopey something to me because I'm a huge fan of comedians. I remember being a kid and Richard Pryor live on the Sunset Strip.
Wow.
Like, meant something. You were like, the Sunset Strip was a magical place and whatnot. And, of course, I've lived out here for 10 years, and it's not a magical place. It's cool. There's things to do. There's a 7-Eleven there that I go to.
There's
quite
a deli around the corner.
But with Tower Records going away and stuff like that, I don't spend much time on Sunset.
Sure.
Don't romanticize as much anymore.
You will now that you're Owl Man, though. You'll be totally down there.
Right. I should have saved the story for tonight. The we're going to the Laugh Factory, me and Muse. And that kind of means something to me. Not so Muse, of course, yes, but me because that's a comedian's place. Not to say that the Lovitz isn't, of course, that is literally a comedian's place, but it's kind of cool to jump over the hill and test it out on the Hollywood side.
Sure.
You got to be extra funny though.
That's the thing. Yeah, you got
the Laugh Factory, right?
Yeah, because you might just get some people who are like, who are these two? Aren't you the fat guy from the plane? None of this is funny. Why are you talking to each other?
That place literally manufactures laughs. It's a laugh factory. You have to actually get on the conveyor belt and make laughs happen.
Wow. And we have a weird moment in every Jay and Silent Bob Get Old where it's like, now we bring all the laughter away and talk about addiction.
Yes.
It's an intervention podcast that we do in a bar. So,
good times.
Yeah, in a theater.
That's not at all cruel to Jay either, by the way.
I know.
To make him do it in a bar.
Licking his lips, looking at everybody in the audience like they're a big stein of beer or something.
Like an owl looking at a wiener dog.
That is nuts, dude.
How quickly can you get an
owl
costume?
You're doubting me. I can sense it, but that happened.
Not doubting.
No one would make that up.
That is crazy.
By the way, not to interrupt the flow of the cell, but I have to ask as one follow up to your owl man story. Are you going to hate your dog forever that your dog does not comprehend what you did for his ass? Like, shouldn't he be worshiping you at this point?
This is a valid question, and one that I bring up to my wife all the time. Not so much about the dogs, because they always convey emotion or affection or something like
right.
that. Right. I have turtles and tortoises, and they don't convey anything.
Right.
Except cold, like, amphibian logic and always kind of going away from you. I've been involved with them for years intimately.
Sounds like a fun pet.
You would think, right? And I give them a wonderful home, and I'm always making sure they know they're taken care of. I take them out of the cold, put them in the warm and stuff. Still, whenever you reach for them, they try to crawl away.
Yeah.
I always ask my wife, I was like, do you think, like, the tortoises know that I care for them. Like I'm not some angry, vengeful God.
I can answer that. No.
Really?
No.
On no level, that brain process is like, fat man, good. He come bring lettuce. Like, I'm not saying they have to have complex thoughts, but.
Don't they head towards you when you have food?
Only when I have food.
Yeah, that's but when
I
mean, you're useful.
But if you're, yeah. I guess. Yeah. But that doesn't convey infection. That's just like, I'm scared hungry. Of you because I need to eat.
Right.
But I don't know. I don't think the dog didn't, like, there was this weird kind of, like, what was that? Like, the dog
But the
heard
dog
a sound.
Has already forgotten it as well. Your dog is asleep right now yeah. and will have no memory of this, will never look at you and go, oh, my God, he saved my life that morning
in
January.
Do you think
January.
That's true? Do you think dogs
do.
Really forget everything?
I would.
No.
Well, I don't
no,
think
because
that dog.
Why don't they do the same bad behaviors? Like, you could.
No, but I'm saying he doesn't have any comprehension of the danger of that owl. You yeah. knew what that owl was capable of. He didn't. So he may not even know what happened.
That's a good point.
He's forgotten it by he now. Was scared by the movement. And then once it was all over,
yeah,
it's
it was
like,
just
okay,
like, what was
cool.
that? And
you'll
not just like, I almost
your,
died.
You'll remember this on your deathbed.
Yes.
My eye, before dogs my, gone. As my synapses like fire to the last, I'm going to sit there and be like, there was this one time. And I'm going to try to tell that story. And people are going to be like, he was muttering about
Remember
an
when
owl.
That guy used to be able to tell stories?
Then he died in the middle of this weird owl story.
So Jay and Silent Bob Get Old, that's tonight at the Laugh Factory. And then real quick, because it is a special day, it is going to be Friday night for the Hollywood Babylon. And this is, as Ralph explained, because you originally weren't going to do a show this weekend, then your plans fell through to travel, so now you're back on, and this is going to be Friday night at the Lovitz, right?
Yeah, Friday night, 10 o'clock at the Lovitz, me and Ralph
just
in the Babel.
So,
just that, yeah. Normally, like, last week this time, our show was already sold out, so, like,
yeah,
this,
so you can still get outside. In.
Totally. Now's the time to get cool. some Babel tickets.
All right, CSMOD, that's SEESMOD, CSMOD.com if you want to buy tickets to either of those shows. More with Kevin Smith, the Owl Man, right after this. In the Kevin Smith in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Follow him on Twitter at ThatKevinSmith, SMODcast.com. How many followers are you up to now, Smith?
I think 2.3.
Wow, nice. you're practically Bieber.
Almost three people.
It doesn't matter, though. Like,
you're not Bieber. Bieber's got 33 mil.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you look at some of these big people, like Lady Gaga. And so, like, I remember there was a point, honestly, when on Twitter, I think I was in the top 50 with followers.
Right.
And I don't think I'm in the top 200 at this point because...
Yeah, well, the service gets bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
I want to ask you this question. I hope it's not impertinent, but we're not a big enough show to get Mr. Affleck on anymore. We've had Ben on in the past, but he's too big now. He's one of your best friends in the world. How disappointing is it to not get that Oscar nomination as Best Director, particularly when he won it for the Golden Globes?
I'd ask him, but I can't even get him on a podcast.
And the movie was nominated as well.
The movie. I can't imagine that he. I mean, if I had to guess, I don't think he cares. He just won.
Really?
A bunch of, yeah, he just won. A
How
bunch
can
of,
you not?
He just won a bunch of like Critics Group awards. DGA nomination is cool.
I would think
but
he's,
already, he's thing, already got one. That helps.
This
too.
Is the thing that like yeah. that day on Twitter when the news came out, like you know, all the nominations were announced and Ben didn't get Best Director, even though Argo got Best Picture. And this is not. It's not like it hasn't happened before.
Right.
Bruce Beresford never got Best Director nod for the year that. Driving Miss Daisy won.
And that, but that's the last time, and that was 1989. I mean, it doesn't happen very often.
Rarely, but and it's going to happen more since they've expanded the Best Picture category
right.
to 10 and kept everything else at 5.
Right. So your guess is that he's satisfied with the way the work has been received and he's gotten plenty of acclaim? Because I just felt like it would be the final piece in the puzzle of the ultimate comeback from, you know, from the lean years. You know what I mean? Look at me, mother effer. I just want another Oscar, this time for something else. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
I got to imagine there's an insane feeling of justice if you're interested in that kind of thing, in seeing the same people who wrote crap about you.
Right.
You know, just giving you oral now, page after page. That to me is like, if you like that, great. That is just like, ew, and sickening and transparent. It's like, you can't write a dude off and then be like, it came back. Everyone loves a comeback story. It's like, you didn't. You tried to put this dude in the ground, man. And like, he never stopped doing good stuff. It's just, he got to a pressure cooker point where like you cannot deny something like Argo. Yeah, you can write some like think pieces about like, hey, this is historically not accurate. There was
right,
a storyboard scene at the, you know, the pivotal moment at the end of the movie. Naturally, it's a movie. But it's a tremendous achievement.
I agree.
Yeah. Especially for a dude, third time out the gate, he made something really, really cool. And it's made a bunch of money, more money than a movie like that has any right to make. I mean, most people go, smart movies don't make money. something like Argo gives everybody hope because, like, look, if a think piece can do some business, and yeah, you know, Warner Bros. Behind it and they got a lot of marketing, but if a smart movie could do great business, that means good things for other smart movies.
Right.
So you're not just watching sequels and remakes all the time. And yeah, there's places for those things, but, like, let's. You can't get to a sequel or a remake until you have an original, so you constantly have to produce new originals. That's what we should be leaning on more than the sequel and remakes, because how many times can you reiterate? You know, it's like, we are going to see another iteration of Batman, and I'll be the first to spend the money to see it, but in 20 years it might be diminishing returns. Why not create a new character?
Exactly. Speaking of crappy sequels, let's
Owlman
talk about
is what I'm
3.
Getting at. Why not Owlman?
Owlman!
Thank you.
Owlman.
A dude who just with a deflated pool toy.
Owlman.
He works his way through the gritty city.
Kill that corny music, man. Kill that. It's insulting to what happened. Here is the song. It has to be more folksy in a Grizzly Adams kind of way. Here
yes,
it goes.
That's what America's demanding. More yes. Grizzly Adams homages.
It goes something like this.
No.
Nobody's picking and grinning. Okay. It goes.
Certainly not the owl.
Owlman, the owl puncher, owl punching fool. Come on, man. Who wouldn't sing along with that? TV shows don't have enough opening jingles.
They don't. That's
I agree.
True.
More themes.
People would sing along with that.
I don't think so.
Mr. Schiff, in our remaining moments here, since you are a filmmaker, this kind of adds on to what you were saying about making original movies. I know you're backing away from the directing thing. You feel like you've done
not
it all.
So fast there, Bean. I do have a movie coming up this spring. We're doing the same thing that we did with Red State. I didn't direct this, but I did write it. Jason Mewes, our good old buddy Jay Mewes, in his sobriety was looking for something to do. So I want to be a producer. I said, great, man. Do you know how to do that? He goes, no. So I was like, well, you're a producer because they don't know anything. So he goes, I need material. I said, here's a script. Do what you can with it. He turned it into this cartoon feature, man. It's called Jay and Silent Bob Super Groovy Cartoon Movie. And rather than, of course, you know, just sell it and release it a bunch of theaters and whatnot, it's very rarefied. It's insanely rated R animation.
Like it.
It's stoner comedy par excellence. I've been watching it for a year, and it's really, really funny. Ralph is in it and plays a massive, massive role.
Fantastic.
It's a real family project for Smodco. But anyway, we're going to take that on the road the same way we took Red State out. So April, May, we're going to launch this tour, and we go, like, I think 7 or 10 dates in a clip, and then come home for 5, and then go out, and we're going to do that all year long. The poster we just put up on my Facebook page today. If you go to Facebook slash Yes That Kevin Smith, the poster's up there, you can see it. So I didn't make it, but I'm still kind of involved. And what I love about this story is the guy who directed it, he's just a fan, like a dude who listened to the podcast, and he took a piece of the podcast, named Steve Stark, Canadian guy. He listened to the podcast, and a lot of people are doing it now, but he did it years ago. It was even before the Ricky Gervais cartoon thing. He took a piece of the podcast, and he just animated the snippet.
That's cool.
And he sent it to us, and we were like, this is amazing. So we kept making more with him, giving him money, make more and more. And then Jason leaned on him and said, hey, man, let's do a whole movie together. So this guy, who's like just been animating pretty much online on his website and whatnot, now directed an entire feature, and he did it for under $100,000.
And he's 9. That's the crazy part.
And he's an owl. That's what I left off. Well, we're going to take that out in the. I think the website you want to bookmark is smodcast.com/groovymovie. And then right now the poster's there and the trailer goes up in 2 weeks.
Fantastic.
Good. Well, that totally dovetails to what my question was going to be. You already answered, which is how can you use your power to get other movies made, even if you're not directing? And that's one way to do it. So that's
awesome. I got another thing, too, called the Kevin Smith Movie Club. We've been doing it. Last year, we called the Smodcast Pictures Presents, but it's an unwieldy title that doesn't catch attention. Kevin Smith, people go, oh, fat guy, plain.
So no. Now they're going to go, Owlman.
Owl Punching Productions.
Owl Puncher.
I'm serious. I'm changing my whole life.
Owl Punch.
I got to get rid of all this movie project first, and then I'm fashioning a costume and going out into nature and punching the hell out of some owls. How dare they look for wieners?
Oh, Pete is not going to like you.
Did you say how dare they look for wieners?
He did.
Okay. But I'm not homophobic. I'm just against owls that want to eat wiener dogs.
Sure. We have to break, Kevin. Give us the last 20 seconds of your sentence about the movie club.
The movie Movie Club. Kevin Smith Movie Club, man. There's a bunch of titles in it. There's a movie called Miss December, one that's really funny called The Alter Egos, a superhero comedy. One that was great called Bindlestiss, which we took out last year. So right now, Phase 4 is our partner in that. And so I'm doing that. I'm just kind of using what little name I got to help out other
people. And you're doing Clerks 3.
That's coming up in 2014, son. Oh, yeah.
Wow. Your hockey project also.
Yeah, when's the hockey
the
thing coming out?
The hockey miniseries, I was just telling Ralph, is moving forward nicely. Ralph's in that as well. Hopefully we're shooting that by the end of 2014.
You feel obligated to have Ralph in at this point. You don't even want him, right?
Ralph is the goods, man. You guys
really?
You guys have been. You got. It's like. Did you ever see the Harry Potter movies where they got that dragon chained under the Gringotts?
Yeah, sure.
That's Ralph. You got him chained under Gringotts of K-Rock, and you know, use him to protect the treasure and light the fires and tell funny jokes and stuff. He needs to soar, man. I'm like Harry Potter and Hermione. I bust him out. He climbs through the roof and he breathes for the first time. So he gets to be in cartoons and movies, TV shows.
We just yell down to the dungeon, hey, we need somebody to do a stupid voice.
Hey, be a monkey. Right. We need a monkey voice. We're going to call you in 3 minutes. Go be a monkey.
Jay and Silent Bob get old on stage at the Laugh Factory tonight. Hollywood Babylon at the Lovitz on Friday night. Get tickets for both at csmod.com and get a preview of what the Hollywood Babylon is like without the drinking and without the salty language as Ralph does the Showbiz Beat with Kevin Smith coming up next here on K-Rock. We are yucking it up with Owl Man here this morning, but let's not forget that Muse comes in the 8 o'clock hour. We got the guys from Muse stopping by ahead of their show.
Not Jason Muse.
Oh, I got excited.
Kevin thought Jay was coming in.
No, I'm sorry. The guys from the band. Right, exactly. That's on the way in the next hour here. Adam Carolla at 9. In the meantime, though, here's Ralph and Kevin Smith at the Showbiz Beat.
Yeah, tragic news today. It was announced that that Charlie Brown's in trouble with the cops. The man who portrayed the voice of Charlie Brown in all those Peanut specials, including A Charlie Brown Christmas, It's the Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown, Peter Robbins is his name. He's going to be arraigned Wednesday on counts of making a threat to cause death or great bodily injury of stalk and of stalking.
Good grief.
Indeed. Thank you. Charlie Brown.
Either that or sigh. But I went with, I think, the stronger choice.
I think grief was a good one.
He's 56 years old and looks like he has been threatening someone.
Should we do a background check on everybody that did cartoon voices?
He
in
was
the past?
A little kid when he did the Charlie Club. Brown. I mean, he didn't do anything then. It's his career since that's gotten him into trouble.
Yeah,
they grow up, these kids, man.
They do.
I worked with a Sally. I talked about, I think, the last time I was here.
Yeah, that's right.
I worked with a Sally from the Peanut Show. Yeah. This she did great. She moved on to be a script supervisor. This guy, not so great.
Not so good.
That's not the way, Charlie Brown. Apparently, he had the football pulled away one time too many.
Yeah, he was just stalking and threatening Lucy.
Yeah.
His manager has declined to comment, but he said they are still going ahead with the future plans for the next special. You're My Bitch, Charlie Brown.
Really?
About Charlie being in prison, so this might actually all work out for the best.
He just lost it, dude. No more! He's tired of ending up on his back.
I'm bald! I'm still bald! Why don't I have any hair? Belinda Carlisle has announced she's trading in her microphone for another line of work. She's giving up singing to become a yoga teacher at the age of 54.
A yoga teacher at the age of 54?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I bet you make more money. I mean, unless you're like Barbara Streisand, you probably make more money as a yoga teacher than a singer at age 54.
Have you guys tried yoga?
I've never done yoga, no.
Way harder than you think.
Yeah, I like my yoga with some granola on
top. That's yogurt, sir.
Oh, it's very smart. Fat man thought different.
Smith's on fire today after the near-death experience with the owl.
That's what I need every day. Before a show, I need to punch an owl right in its face with a pool toy.
This is going to be like one of those twisted rich men sports that Kevin is just going to go to a guy and breed a bunch of owls. Then he's going to go to like
Indonesia
pen.
Someplace.
He's going to go into a pen.
Ralph, the first rule about owl club is you don't talk about owl club.
He's going to have Thailand. Like gladiator gauntlets on with spikes on him. He's going to go in.
Talon versus Talon. No more.
Release the owl.
Kevin's versus the court of the owls. He's going to be taking them on.
Love it.
It's going to be tragic.
Give me a costume. I'm ready.
Yeah. And while we're talking about Twitter, we mentioned Kevin has over 2 million followers earlier. The battle continues between Justin Bieber and Lady Gaga. Who is the most followed person on Twitter?
And?
Bieber has taken the crown just this week. He passed Gaga again. They keep going back and forth, but Justin, as of this morning, has 33,374,041 followers.
33 million?
Yes.
Okay.
He's saying some good stuff, though, on Twitter.
Oh, what is he? What wisdom is he pointing? I mean, I'm granted, I'm all I'm doing is pitching gigs and sending up links to our YouTube channel or you know, retweeting funny images.
Right.
I don't really dispense all that much wisdom in my Twitter feed, but what is he saying?
Compared to him, nothing.
I don't know. Jump we don't follow him.
Who's following?
Gave my hamster away, eh?
Everyone does. Everyone under 20.
I was curious, so I just checked. The president, in case you're keeping track, is just over 26 million at this point. So Bieber's out tweeting the president by 7 million followers.
I'm more popular than Barack, yo.
Eh? questions, bro.
Good for him, man. And good for Gaga. Isn't she from, she's an East Coast girl, Jersey or New York?
She's Jersey girl, yeah.
Yeah, Jersey girl. Good for her. I saw a picture of her recently. I had no idea she was so short.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she always seems tall to me. I think because of the costumes. I guess that's the point. But she's
giant heels.
She's tiny.
She's a weird little misshapen gnome.
You could at least make a take, man.
Really?
Yeah,
Lisa's got a plaid belt.
She's over head and shoulders. I mean, just in height alone.
She has a mauve belt.
Yes.
She's Lady Gaga is the right height for Lisa May.
Awesome.
I'll set it up.
Man, yeah.
Right,
just two of them in a cage with an owl, and you got a party right there.
Totally, man. Wear her like a meat dress. The owl man's on fire.
And sad news for James Vanderbeek.
What?
He's out of work again.
I like the Vanderbeek. He was in Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. Good guy.
Right.
Great sense of humor.
Yeah. He was in Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 23.
Yeah.
ABC has announced they have canceled that sitcom.
He was really the only good thing about it.
I never saw an episode.
Apparently the network really didn't trust the Bee in Apartment.
Yeah, they didn't.
Whatever.
They're pulling all those episodes, the remaining ones, and they're going to replace it with extra episodes of Happy Endings starting next week. So, fans,
why don't they replace it with extra episodes of Comic Book Men returning to AMC February 14th?
This is ABC. It's a totally different network.
Oh, my bad.
I appreciate
you.
Sorry.
I was looking to sneak a plug
desperate
in there.
Need to get your plug in.
You didn't sneak it.
Hark, an owl! Look out, Ralph!
Today's celebrity birthdays, MacGyver himself, Richard Dean Anderson, is 63 years old today.
Wow.
Of course, he got his big break on General Hospital, to tell you guys. You know what an avid GH fan I was back in the day.
Your stories?
He was Rick Weber, one of the Weber brothers, who were going through a whole bunch of stuff. And good news, Frisco Jones is returning.
I know Frisco Jones. Really?
What? You know Jack Wagner?
I don't know him, but I know him from
General
Hospital. Jack Wagner's coming back.
This is like finding out your best friend is a secret Nazi.
There was a time.
I had no idea you knew so much about
you. GH.
I was a Young and the Restless man. My grandmother loved the YNR, so I know all about Victor and
Luke
Nikki.
And Laura.
Luke and Laura are Kmart of
Nikki and Victor.
You know, he raped her and then she married him.
That's how you get the ladies. What a positive storyline to give out to women and children.
What is happening right now? Robert Scorpio?
Holy crap.
There was a weather machine in that
show. Machine, yes.
Young and the Restless never resorted to a weather machine. Did you like the other one with the crazy possessed doll? Remember that soap opera?
No, I never watched that one.
I don't know who any of those people are.
Guys, we're still on the air, right? You know that.
Bad. Tiffany Thiessen's 39 years old today, of course, from Saved by the Bell and White Collar.
It's all right. Because she's Saved by the Bell. Sorry.
She just got the bell.
Yeah.
Mariska Hargitay from Law & Order is 49 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. He's Kevin Smith.
Hi.
We walk the showbiz beat.
Muse coming in here to the K-Rock studios in about 15 minutes. Stick around for that. And then 1 hour from right now, Adam Carolla on the show. And we're going to qualify someone else for K-Rock's World Tour 2013 Destination Number 3. This is a good one. The Black Keys. Oh, I don't know. At Lollapalooza in Brazil.
Pretty
cool. You've been to the Lollapalooza in Chicago a bunch of times, Kevin. That's great, too. But Lollapalooza in Brazil?
Yeah,
what's
like
better
to try
than that?
Try that once, sure.
Seriously, 9:10 this morning, you get a chance to qualify by winning the Black Keys' latest album, El Camino. Also at 12:10, 3:10, and 6:10, we'll do that all week long here on the world-famous K-Rock. Details at K-Rock.com.
We scour the internet looking for stories. We get a lot of animal stories, and we just don't have time for them, so we put them on a wheel. It is the wheel of bad animal voices. On the wheel today is Harvey Dent, the two-faced kitten. That's been on there for a couple of years, hasn't it?
Yeah.
I don't even remember what Harvey's story is. So, yeah, it'd be great if we could finally talk to him about it.
Willie, the foul-mouthed cockatoo. the Brazilian penis snake. Gina, the chimp that's addicted to porn. Holly, the cat who walked 200 miles to get home. That needs a better title. Irwin, the formerly paralyzed kangaroo.
Look, Irwin's not going to live forever. At some point, it's got to land
formerly
on him.
Formerly paralyzed. Formerly, though, B. Now he's a weightlifter. Brazilian wandering spider. Purston Howell III, the rich cats of Instagram.
Come on, Purston.
Vicious British underground mice. Killer Asian tiger mosquitoes. So that's the wheel. Let's spin it and see what it lands on.
It's time for the...
Yeah!
Houston.
That was a good spin.
That was a good spin. Wow. Impressive.
Oh, sorry. It's not Person. It's Gina, the chimp that's addicted to porn.
Oh. Yay!
So wait, hold on a sec. This is a girl chimpanzee who's yes. watching pornography?
They put a TV up mm-hmm. so that it would entertain the chimp.
And where's this? Where's all this happening?
In Spain.
Okay.
They gave the chimp eventually the remote control, and he learned how to work it. According to the story, he could change the channel. She could change the channels by pushing this remote.
Okay.
Sure. Sure, that makes sense that a monkey would be able to figure out a remote control. Sure.
Yeah. But would always choose porn.
All
so
right.
then somebody along the way said, wait, what's happening here? Apparently, Gina is addicted to porn now. Always has to find the porn channel.
Gina needs now, a mate.
She does.
Tell me what's going on in Spain. What kind of TV do they have where porn is on television, by the way?
Really good question.
I don't know.
Unless it's their version of, you know, HBO and Cinemax, and maybe the chip just waits up late at night for the, you
Could
know,
be.
For the... For those kind of well,
skin flicks or whatever.
We wanted to find out more about the story, so we asked Dave, producer Dave, to line us up with somebody from the Seville Zoo in Spain if we can find out what's happening with Gina. Hello, who's on the phone?
Oh, is this Gina?
Hi, how's it going?
Oh, hi, Gina. I'm sorry, I thought we'd be talking to a zookeeper or something. There you are.
Did you really think that?
I'm surprised
that I've done this bit.
That's part
of a zookeeper.
But that's part of the bit, Gina.
Oh, my bad.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised that a chimp could answer the phone since you're the one in the story.
I love porn.
All right, Gina, so you're familiar with the story, of course, that we heard that you are addicted to porn. Is that true?
I love porn.
You
yeah.
love porn. Okay.
Yeah, I love it. I can't stop watching it. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
It's so hot. I love porn.
But this is a delicate question, but you're watching humans. I mean, you're watching another species porn. Yeah, is that still sexy to you?
Yeah. You know why? Because there's not a lot of chimpanzee porn.
It's true.
What am I supposed to be watching?
No, but what I'm saying is I can understand if you were turned on by watching other chimps have sex, but do you even care about humans? Are we attractive to you to watch
we're
us
99% the same genetically.
No, that's true. That's
we're
true.
Just 1% off. So it's the next best thing to see in chimp porn.
All right.
So I love to tune in. I got. It's hard for me to talk because I'm missing porn right now.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, you have to watch it at all times.
Right now, Hung Wankenstein is on. I'm missing that. I got to see that.
Okay.
I got a DVR full of this stuff. After that, I got to watch Bum Fight at the O'Gay Corral.
That's a good one. You're going to enjoy that. I don't want to spoil it for you, but that's a real good one.
And then Chitty Chitty Gang Bang. Right after that, later on tonight is Glazed and Confused.
Oh, wow.
Jeez.
Wow. They show all the best movies in Spain on TV, don't they?
All the good ones. I Know What You Did Up the Bummer.
Well, you have quite a schedule.
Lawrence of Arabia.
So,
I don't know how I missed that.
So you are busy.
That's great. It's best. I've seen that one before. Also, The Empire Strikes from the Back.
Right.
And Willy Bonky and the Chocolate Factory.
Well, we're going to let you get right to that, Gina. Congratulations. Good times.
It's more fun than throwing poo.
Wow, that's hard to say.
Big show tonight, first of three at Staples Center. The band is Muse, and two-thirds of the group, Matt and Dominic, in studio with us.
Hey,
hello there.
Hi,
how's
boys.
It going? Yeah, how's good. How are you?
Very good.
Let's say mean things about Chris since he's not here. That dude's a dick, right?
He's definitely balding.
How are you? How are we feeling?
We're excited. It's great to be back in LA, and it's great to be back at Staples, yeah, and we've got these three shows coming up.
So, first off tonight. I'm sorry, do you guys have a day of things that you normally do? You warm up in the morning or anything? Any superstitions?
Well, in LA, I get woken up by the kids first thing, like about 8 o'clock in the morning. They're bouncing on the bed.
And you're saying daddy has to work tonight.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, I didn't finish partying until like 3 a.m. last night. Give me a break. Just let me give me a break until lunch at least. But yeah, that'll be my routine for these next three gigs, yeah. This is like a homecoming gig now. I live here. I live in LA. So.
Yeah, well, there you go.
That? Just another foreigner moving to our country and taking our women and our job, like you do.
Yep, taking the best woman.
What is the Muse stage show like for this current tour for the Second Law? Because you guys have been famous for the bigger, you know, the shows get bigger and bigger every time you go out. There's lasers and there's robots and there's spaceships and I'm sure zombies. What can folks expect if they're seeing the shows this week?
Zombies. I'm looking forward to that.
Like, I'm going tonight. Am I going to see a zombie?
I mean,
maybe in the crowd.
I might be a bit of a zombie tonight, seeing as we're doing this interview so early. You know, so.
Sorry about that.
but yeah, I mean, it'll be there'll be all sorts. There'll be an upside down electronic pyramid which will come and consume the band and eat us up.
Okay.
And then what do we do?
There's so many things that are different about this stage set compared to the last one. I mean, it's so much more kind of personal in some ways. There's so much more like interaction with the audience that was never there before.
Yeah,
so
I get to get down and
Matt gets down in a crowd and like meets all the people and just I also think just the way like Matt and Chris are performing. Obviously, I'm playing the drums, so I'm kind of stuck. But
you have to stay there.
And Chris are kind of running around a lot, and there just seems to be much more interaction with the audience compared to last time.
Now, last time when you were at Staples, I came to see you as well, and they had to pull down some curtains and they couldn't get Chris's down.
Oh, you went to that one.
That was the most Spinal Tap gig of our entire career.
He had to play the whole song while guys were like hanging from the banners trying to.
So, I mean, yeah, because basically we had these three columns that we were playing on, these three kind of towers things with these sock curtains on the outside. We called them giant socks, but they were like big curtains, and they're supposed to all come down right as Uprising kicks
in. Maybe 100 feet tall.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And then two came down, but when mine came down, it pulled off my guitar rack, so all my guitars smashed on the back.
I didn't know
so
that.
So that's why mine had to come down and left Dom and Chris up there, and then I came back up again, and Chris was stuck in there.
Well, Chris's didn't even come down, yeah, I mean, so he was like playing half
the
song.
That was actually the most, it was the worst it ever went on the whole tour. And it was one that we wanted to, it was L.A. for God's sake, come on, get it
no,
right in L.A.
That made it
and
great.
It completely fell
apart. I loved it.
I suppose it made it more.
Actually, it was meant to be like that.
Yeah, of course.
To my daughter, look, Chris is stuck. This is awesome. He may never get out.
How comfortable are you with that size room? Is Staples Center, is that about the best amount of people that you want to see in a concert, or do you like them bigger or smaller?
I like all the, I mean, yeah, Staples is a great venue because I feel like...
Because you've played stadiums and you've also played tiny, tiny rooms. So what's it feel like on stage at this stage?
Well, Staples is good because everyone, I feel like everyone can see. It's you know, any bigger than that, it starts to lose a little bit of intimacy, you know, and you start having to kind of, you know, play, you know, bigger riffs and bigger sounds and just push it right out to people at the back and put big video screens up and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
So I'd say like Staples is kind of like the maximum size you can play with and still get some kind of intimacy, you know. So I love it, you know, it's one of my favorite venues.
How tough is it to take the music that you guys make in the studio that is complicated and layered and orchestral and has so many things going on and replicate it live?
Well, we've got this fourth guy who basically is a walking orchestra. He's called Morgan, and yeah, he pretty much... you know, with one finger, he can push a button and an entire symphony.
Just fills everything.
Exactly. He feels, basically, we're not doing anything.
You guys aren't lip syncing, are you? Faking on the drums and stuff?
We're just sticking to what we do, three pieces like the raw rock, and then Morgan does like synthesizers and bits and pieces. So he kind of fills in the gaps, basically. He's like the Jean-Michel Jarre in the band.
Is it trouble to work that out? When you come up with the new music, does it take some time to really figure out how to reproduce it?
Well, some of the songs, I think we arrange them differently a little bit live. You know, obviously we don't have the orchestra, so it's a bit more electronic, I'd say. You know, rather than orchestral live. So you know, when you're hearing synths and things, it's like, you know, it's not a real orchestra. Obviously, it's like more like a
synthesized
Jean-Michel Jarre version of a
different. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely a bit of a challenge. You know, some songs we kind of know exactly how to play live. Some songs we have to like really work on it and work on like all the sounds and figure out whether it's going to sound good. I think, you know, Madness definitely took a little while of rehearsals to kind of figure out how that should sound live, and then we certainly got it right.
Some stuff we've never played as well. Like on the last album, the ending, we had this thing called Exogenesis Symphony Part 1, 2, and 3. We've never actually played that. We can't play it.
You can't play it ever?
We need like 80 people to make that to make that sound right, you know?
These are the voices of Matt and Dom from the band Muse in studio and in town this week for the first of three shows at Staples Center tonight. Hey, real quick before we take a break, and by the way, speaking of Madness, I think we'll play that next. That's your current number one song. Somebody mentioned lip syncing a moment ago. Beyonce is all over the news with this controversy of her lip syncing at the inauguration a couple of days ago. Have you guys ever done the national anthem at an event? Have you ever been asked to do that at a Super Bowl or a sporting event or anything?
You mean the Star Spangled Banner?
Ours.
It's funny you say that. We played it in San Diego.
Well,
a guitar version, like a Hendrix-y version with Chris doing some sort of bass notes underneath. I got a feeling it went down very well, obviously. You know, we weren't sure if we were playing it right. You know, I had to check the melody beforehand.
Did you sing it also, or just instrumental?
No, just instrumental. instrumental.
So you did the Hendrix way.
I feel like you have to be an American to sing it, don't you? I mean, I'm not sure. I mean,
well, I don't know if a sniper will take you out, but
you never know. I might be an American soon. You never know. So I might be able to sing it. But I'd say in Staples we'll probably. It went so well at San Diego, I think I'll probably play it on the guitar again, yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
That's a treat. All right. Muse is here. We'll play Madness next. We'll talk some more about the shows at Staples Center and everything else going on in their world when we return right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Speaking of that song, Madness from Muse, two-thirds of the band in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show, Matt and Dom, sitting in with us today. Hey, guys.
Hey.
Madness, by the way, Kevin, I don't know if you know this, has been number one on the alternative music chart for, gosh, you guys tell me, is it like 17 weeks or something? It's like one of the longest number ones all time.
Yeah, that's a real big surprise. Yeah, it was we kind of took a risk with that song. You know, we tried something completely different.
It was very different, yeah.
And to go straight out of the bat with a song that's kind of soft in nature rather than a big rocking track, which is what we normally do.
It's kind of the opposite of the typical Muse song, yet it's turned into your biggest hit, which must make you feel... I mean, I remember at the time we talked to you when the album first came out, and I think you said, Matt, that it was your favorite song on the record.
Yeah, because I think, because it represented something so different for us, you know.
When it came out, we were saying, is this real?
Yeah, it sounds like a different band.
It seems so different from what we knew from
Muse. Yeah. I mean, the album itself has got loads of stuff on it that's kind of familiar to people that like our music, but that song stands out because we try to do something really minimal and stripped down and not with all the epic sort of theatrics, you know, that we normally have. And I think we got it right in that song.
You worked your stutter into it, so I think that's good.
Yeah, exactly. I had this theory that, you know, all these songs that have got, like, you know, like syllables, like bouncing on them just sound great, like, you know, My Generation and...
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure, I can see that.
So I throw that in.
Matt, you mentioned a few minutes ago that you're living in America now, living in Los Angeles now.
Yeah.
What's that do to the dynamic of the band? Because Chris and Dom are still back home, right?
Yeah, well, at risk of sounding a little bit well to do. Obviously, you know, I've got a place in London and in LA. Yeah?
Sure. But, well, of course.
So does Dom as well. So, you know, in terms of the album making process, we all did that in London together, pretty much. We came out here, I managed to get the guys to come out, and we did a little bit in Malibu as well, which is really great because it was sunny down there. We did, what did we do down there? What songs did we record? Actually, I did
some guitars down there,
I did the vocal for Madness down there as well.
Oh, did you?
You played the guitar in the sunshine.
Yeah, I did the guitar guitars in, what was it, Follow Me and... I think Madness, I played it out in a garden in, outside Rick Rubin's place.
Can you guys pretty much record anywhere?
Yeah.
I'd say so.
The thing is that in terms of the dynamic of the band, though, I mean, really, this last album, we were closer together than any previous album because we were actually all based in London for the album-making process mainly, you know?
Right.
So we could all, like, go to the studio, work on songs all day, and then go back to our families and so on in the evening. So it was really nice that way. We had to have the balance.
Tell me about the app, Muse 360.
Yeah, Dom, tell us about
that. That looks cool. You don't know? I thought Matt would know, but all right.
But I think I know about that. Is that where we filmed a gig and you could pan around?
Yeah,
and we use these special cameras, yeah?
It's the Reading Festival,
isn't it? It's the Reading Festival, yeah.
Yeah, I remember seeing these dome things on stage when we're playing.
And you're like, what the hell are those?
What is that? It's very cool because you can pretty much direct the cameras.
Yeah, you can. There's about five or six cameras on stage, and you can just control it with your finger. So you can like pan around, and you can look at my face or Matt's back or the crowd, you know. And you can choose your different cameras, and obviously get our perspectives.
Can you see the pedal board? Can you zoom in on the pedal
board? Yeah, you can go up and down, you know, nice. Full 360, and it's a really cool company and technology that's doing this. We did something with them a couple of years ago, so I think with this Reading thing and the app, you know, we've kind of taken it a little bit further.
With the
really
app,
cool.
Are you going to film more shows, you know, down the road and put them up?
I suppose we can, though. We've got to get the cameras in.
It's all new to you, isn't it, Matt?
You can see that I'm winking. I'm pretending I know what I'm talking about, but I've got no idea what's going on.
No, I think we definitely will in the future. We did some. We did a bit of stuff on the stadiums in when we played the stadiums in 2010. So there's a bit of that hanging around, and I think we'll do some of this tour and maybe the summer stuff as well. But it's really cool technology, so you should check it out if you haven't seen it already.
It's very cool. It's called Muse 360.
It does sound cool, and it sounds like you guys are going to be playing a lot of gigs this year. I mean, I see dates all the way up through Rock in Rio in September, so it's going to be a busy 2013 for y'all.
Oh, totally, yeah.
Yeah, and the rest.
Yeah, I think we're doing our biggest US tour starting this week, you know, obviously in California, and that goes on until end of April, doesn't it, all across the US?
Mm.
And then we're coming back to the US again around the Rock in Rio time. I think we're doing more on the East Coast, Midwest.
I want to save you guys from a possible disaster, if you don't mind. I went to your website, and there are a bunch of people that say, hey, please come to our city. Come to Philadelphia. Come to Baltimore. We'd like you guys to stop here. And one of them said, please come to Tijuana.
I don't know if you guys are aware of this or not, but Tijuana sucks ass. You do not want to go to Tijuana. I'm just heading that one right off the pass.
Okay.
You are going to end up in a photograph with a donkey if you go. And trust me when I tell you that that's no bueno, as they say. No bueno.
Just want to make sure you understand that.
All right. Last question for you. Again, it's Matt and Dom from Muse Staples Center tonight, and then also Thursday night, tomorrow night, and Saturday night. And I understand that there are still a few tickets left for the Thursday and Saturday show, maybe production seats that have been released or whatever. But you guys are part of what's becoming very popular with these ticketless tickets. Do you know anything about this? They're trying to fight scalpers by giving you ticketless tickets. Are you involved in that decision at all?
Ticketless tickets. I've got to be honest to say, I don't exactly know what's going on over here. But in the UK, we've always had lots of battles with the secondary.
Exactly.
Things,
mm-hmm. That's what they're trying to do here.
About, yeah. Same thing here.
So you know, as time goes on, we're trying to sell more and more from our website. You know, I know we've been doing that in Europe, but over here, I'm not quite sure.
I wanted to thank you for that, because you know this is something that's a phenomenal permanent frustration with people who love music and want to go to shows, and of course all the tickets get snapped up and then they get sold for 10 times the value.
Exactly.
And it's just,
I hate that. I love it, because you end up with an audience of people that have spent all this money, crazy money, and you end up with basically a boring crowd.
Yeah, not as big fans.
It's people that just, you know, people with more money tend to not rock out as hard.
Right.
I'm not sure why that is, but
you should just make them all free.
Exactly, yeah. I'm a big fan of the ticketless idea. I think that's a good idea to solve that.
So Staples Center tonight, Thursday night, and Saturday night with Band of Skulls, which is another great band, by the way, opening up. The band is Muse. So exciting to catch up with them. Glad things are going so well for you, too. I especially felt when this Second Law album came out a couple months ago, it was kind of risky because it was so different, but man, it's just got to be so gratifying for you that it's just taken off so big and people still love you.
Oh, totally. Yeah, we're so absolutely happy, and thanks so much for your support, guys. You totally have made our career in America. we owe you everything, let's be honest.
We will collect. Thank you. Should get those guys in. That'd be great, don't you think?
They don't do interviews. They're recluses. Yeah. They don't do interviews.
Moody douchebags.
That's too
bad. They haven't talked to a radio station in 10 years. It's All Muse Radio here on the world famous K-Rock. Great to see those guys again and again. Kevin, you're going to the show tonight,
yes.
Staples Center.
Yes.
It does seem like there may be a couple of seats available if you want to check into it for Thursday and Saturday. Well worth seeing. Adam Carolla coming up next after the top of the hour, and we'll qualify you for the destination number 3 of the K-Rock World Tour 2013, which, as you know, is the Black Keys in Brazil. More on that in a moment. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat.
Before I get to showbiz news, how would you like to hang out with Stryker, Cat Corbett, Lisa May, Omar, and Dave the King of Mexico?
Nine!
Yeah, what a fun group.
Me neither. But if there's something wrong with you and you'd like
if you
to do
nothing
this,
else to do,
we can make this happen. Oh, Lightning will be there too. I'm sorry, I forgot to throw that in.
Yes.
Now I'm in. Does that change things?
It'll be fun, Ralph. We always have fun.
It is always a fun event at Santa Anita Racetrack. It is the K-Rock infield concert event featuring Shiny Toy Guns.
Yeah.
This Saturday, January the 26th at Santa Anita Park in Arcadia, California. Here's what will get you there, other than the fact that those sparkling personalities will be there to meet and greet you. It's just $5 to get in. There are 10 live thoroughbred races, so you can actually play the ponies. Be 45 different microbrews on tap, lots of food trucks, that kind of thing. Here's what I'm going to give you. I'll give you the VIP.
We got a winner!
I don't think we have a winner yet.
Lightning's very excited.
Oh, you have no idea. We have got the special Santa Anita Backstage VIP package for you. This is what you get. You get 4 tickets for admission. You get a parking pass. You get a backstage access pass.
And you have to clean up after the horses.
You get 8 drink tickets. You get $106 that you can use to bet on the ponies while you're there. So you're playing with house money at
that
point.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it is pretty cool. So all that stuff can be yours if you win this package. Let's take caller number, let's see, it's January the 26th, so how about caller number 26? Caller number 26 who gets through and talks to
I got the 23rd of January myself. Oh, you mean the date of that event. Sorry, I thought you meant today.
The event is January 26th, and so to tie it in with the giveaway.
Thumbs up.
I thought I would make it the 26th caller.
My bad. Excellent sound effect use. Are we helping or hindering?
No, nothing but, as always.
Kevin, goddammit.
While celebrities are globetrotting, They don't like to use their real names when they check into hotels, so they come up with some very interesting aliases. Interesting list on PerezHilton.com. Reports that Kim Kardashian, for example, checks in as Princess Jasmine. Look, Kim, you're already an established porn star. You don't need to come up with a porn star name for yourself. Kim Kardashian works just fine.
Now, she could just check in as whore, but it'd be too easy for people to find her.
Or Jasmine something, but no, it's got to be Princess Jasmine.
Sure.
Because, of course, that's from Aladdin, and she likes to connect herself with the swarthy cartoon characters. Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie often check in as Jasmine and Bryce Pilaf. Kristen Stewart enjoys being called Chuck Steak.
Chuck Steak.
Chuck Steak.
Hmm. Hmm.
All right.
And Justin Timberlake often goes by Mr. Woodpond at different hotels. No one could figure that out this morning until I came up with the fact that Timberlake.
Actually, I'm the one who noticed it first.
Translates into Wood Pond. Timberlake.
Nobody else got it until I said something.
I was the one who came up with that.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right. Beer Mug came up with that. Sure.
People will believe that.
You're going to get that before all of us.
Ralph, this will not surprise you at all, but on the topic of celebrities and the names they use in hotels, Gene Simmons checks in as.
I do. Yes, that's right.
Gene Simmons.
Does he really?
Of course.
He desperately wants all the attention. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. He's begging the ladies to call him up in the hotel room. Are you kidding me? Yeah. Yep, he sure does. Makes it widely known that he's checking in under his real name, too.
Well, what would your alias be if you were going to avoid detection checking into a hotel? What would you pick?
Well, I wouldn't say it on the radio, I'll tell you that. I would just pick something, not that I would ever need to in a billion years, but I would just pick something as far away from anything that I'm interested in as possible.
Thanks for playing. Thanks for the fun of that answer. Thanks for playing our game. Jesus Christ. Just come up with a goofy name. That's all you had to do. Oh, well, I wouldn't say it on the radio. I would go to the front desk, and I would request the assistant manager that we would sit down and work out some sort of elaborate system with integers and letters where I could come up with a code that would be used. God, you're just the death of fun.
It does violate the and rule of improv, doesn't it?
How about you, Kevin? What name would you use?
Well, I wouldn't. I would check with the manager.
We're both being keyboarded catted off my show.
Before.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Richard Dean Anderson, 63. Mariska Hargitay is 49. Tiffany Amber Thiessen. Well, she doesn't have Amber anymore. She's just Thiessen. 39 years old. Nick Harmer of Death Cab for Cutie is 38. And Tito Ortiz. Mixed martial artist extraordinaire. He is.
I would check in as Tito Ortiz. That's the name I would use.
I would use Leonardo DiCaprio.
See, now that's a funny answer right there. 8 minutes after the question, but you guys, I appreciate the effort.
No worries.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Carry this ship, will carry our bodies safe to shore.
Hang on, this is my favorite part.
That's strong.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is the Kevin and Bean Show at 10 minutes after 9.
Get your money's worth out of the end of that song, don't you? My problem with Corolla is it's almost impossible to see this guy live. Like, he's a hermit. He's practically J.D. Salinger. You can never... Oh, wait a minute. He's doing something every single night of the goddamn year, including tonight at the Amalfi Restaurante and Bar, if you want to see Adam with a live podcast and Mangria being served. And then tomorrow night at the Irvine Improv, tickets are on sale with special guest Gilbert Gottfried. Hey, Ace Man, how are you, buddy?
Good. How you doing, Bean?
Doing fine. I enjoyed your video podcast. Second Tuesday night in a row. I've tuned in at 7 o'clock. I know this is something you're doing through AdamCarolla.com. I just want to say I saw about the first half hour or so, and it was terrific.
Oh, I'm glad you enjoyed it. Yeah, I mean, you can't go wrong with Dana Gould and Fitzsimmons. And I'm looking forward to Gilbert Gottfried because I have no idea what to expect. I don't think I've seen him in like 10 years.
He will repeat everything you say, first of all. Endlessly.
And he'll be miffed if there's no food backstage,
correct?
Right?
But Kevin's absolutely right. You're going to say, wow, it was windy today, Gilbert. And he'll go, it was windy today, Adam! Windy! Windy! Windy!
He would simultaneously be the best and worst member of the Nation of Islam. He's perfect at standing behind people and yelling out what they just said.
That's true.
I feel like it'd be distracting and annoying. Like, if someone is up there going, I've been to the mountain, and he'd go, he he's been to the mountain. It was now too sarcastic and not supportive, but still technically he has the skill set to be in the Nation of Islam.
Yes, that's correct.
Exactly. No, Gilbert would be very tough to place in any kind of work. That's why he loses so many jobs. Well, that sounds like a lot of great stuff this week. Again, tonight, the live podcast at the Mall for Restaurant, and then the live podcast at the Improv with Gilbert. That's going to be tomorrow night. Tickets for all of this and all the great podcasts at AdamCarolla.com. And don't forget to buy your Mangria, too. It's time for This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Well, speaking of being everywhere, every night, I'm going to be somewhere on Friday, and I'll tell you where I'm not going to be. I'm not going to be at Jimmy Kimmel's Walk of Fame unveiling.
You're not going to that.
Not going to be there.
You're his lover. How are you going to miss it? How insulting for Jimmy.
Because I'm going to be in Detroit.
What a terrible alternative.
I know. That's the whole thing. You really kind of realize, like, I'm going to be in Maui, or I'm going to be on top of Jennifer Aniston. That doesn't make me feel bad.
Yeah.
Or any combination of those two.
Right.
But I'm going to be in Detroit.
Listen, Ace Man, the flu is going around.
Oh, this place is sold out.
Yeah, they'll sell it out again, man. Anything to get out of the winter.
You know what? You could certainly do a make good in May or something in Detroit, right?
I'm going to be in Detroit.
Adam. You lose.
You want to hear one of the gayest moments I had with Jimmy? We, you know, we've had a lot of gay moments over the years. Yeah. He did the podcast on Monday, and we just drove in together, and then we drove back to my house Sunday night, and no one was around. The kids were gone. The wife was gone. And I said, you want to come in and have a beer? And he said, I'd love to, but I have a chicken in the oven. Thought, that's such a Jimmy thing, right? What other multimillionaire, king of late night, Kennedy Center a speech maker and an Emmy host would have a chicken in the oven on a Sunday night alone? Yeah.
That don't know Jimmy, it's absolutely him. He loves to cook.
Anything in the world.
I've been over at Super Bowl parties where he doesn't even watch the Super Bowl because he's in the kitchen.
He can't see it. His apron is pulled up over his head. No, but seriously, and also I thought about it. It's a great excuse to get out of anything. It's a non-judgment thing.
Oh, sure.
You know, it's like if you say I'm sick, people say, what do you got? Or, you know, or give me a note from your doctor. Or you're going to have to summon a cough. Or how'd you just do my podcast and not I didn't hear you cough.
Right.
You should have a chicken in the oven. You're really not saying anything about the other person.
That's true.
Number one. Number two, you're not lying. Number three, you're never going to get hit with BS.
Let me see your finger.
Let me smell your cuticles. I don't smell.
Whoa, what just happened?
Adam, I don't understand how they could even have that ceremony without you there. It seems like you're one of the guys who would need to speak on Jimmy's behalf as his best friend.
I know. I booked this stupid thing in Detroit 3 months ago, and
Adam,
I didn't find out about his Walk of Fame thing until, like,
Adam,
3 weeks ago.
Adam, tell Detroit that you have a chicken in the oven. Seems to work.
They do like the chicken over there. I think they would respect it. Anyway, I don't want to tip anything, but I took a full page out on the Hollywood Reporter or the whatever the other page.
Variety.
Variety, yeah. So you guys can look for that and get a laugh out of it. All right, we got time for one more?
Sure.
All right. Senator Barbara Boxer. Now, this I like to do a little thing called Stupid or Liar.
Yep.
It's a sort of Manti Te'o thing.
I like it.
It's easy, right? It's
yeah.
It's what it could only, like for Manti Te'o, it could only be Stupid or Liar. There's no third column.
That's
right?
Correct, yes.
Correct.
All right, Barbara Boxer, Senator Barbara Boxer, Stupid or Liar. She said yesterday that Antonio Villaraigosa, our mayor, would make a terrific transportation secretary.
What?
In Obama's cabinet.
Wait, hold on a sec. The mayor of Los Angeles, the city that has the worst traffic in the world, well, I won't say the world, it's certainly in North America.
In North America, it is number one. The
worst traffic.
And arguably the worst public transportation system. Or I don't know if we do have a public transportation system since I've never been on it and I don't know anyone who ever has.
I'd say liar.
Yeah, I'm thinking liar too.
She has to know that he's not doing anything to make the traffic better, right?
Certainly, there's nobody I'm behind at a red light who knows it's legal to turn right on a red. We could easily do that awareness campaign.
Yeah.
We don't. So we're going liar. Yeah.
Liar.
Like saying Chris Christie would make an excellent selection to the President's Council for Fitness.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. If it's stupid or liar in this case, yeah, absolutely. All definitely right. Liar.
That's good,
definitely.
Though. I'm glad our senator's just lying and not stupid.
Correct. Exactly.
All right.
Live podcasted at the Amalfi Restaurante and Bar, which is on North La Brea. That's going to be great. Mangria will be served. Live podcast with the great Gilbert Gottfried tomorrow at the Irvine Improv, and so many other things coming up, especially if you're a Detroit listener to the Kevin Bean Show. You'll really enjoy Adam's show on Friday night. It's all available at adamcarolla.com. Thanks, Ace Man. Say hi to Michigan.
By the way, we forgot to congratulate our winner, and I actually don't have the names, but we are all this week giving away copies of the Black Keys, the band we just heard there, and their album El Camino. And you're qualified to go to Lollapalooza in Brazil to see the band in concert in Brazil, which is like a foreign country and some junk.
That'd be really cool.
Nice job, you.
We did that, guy or girl, you.
You listener that got that. Good work.
We did that a few minutes ago at 9:10. We'll do it again every day this week at the same time. Also at 12:10, 3:10, and 6:10. All the details, if you want to go to Brazil to see Black Keys, are available for you at krock.com. Ralph Garman, time for the showbiz beat now.
Congratulations.
Insert name here.
Apparently, the problem I'm being told is it's not one winner. Apparently, we loaded up. It's 10 winners at a time. That's why they don't put their names on.
It's loaded up.
Congratulations, all of you.
Which is good news for people who want to get in, because there's lots of chances.
It is indeed. Now we know why Chloe was eating so much, why she was eating that mutton.
Is that right?
Yeah.
What's the reason?
I wish you guys had talked to me before you called her. You might have had some more interesting conversation.
She pregnant.
Confirmed, Lisa, this morning by MediaTakeout.com.
Oh, no.
They are running with a story confirming that Chloe Kardashian is, in fact, pregnant.
Yay!
Oh, no.
Wow, they just keep reproducing.
They do.
I've said for years, don't people, stop. Remember to spay and neuter your Kardashians, and no one will listen to me.
So that's going to make it so much harder for Lamar to get away.
Yeah.
What does that do? Did that blow your mind? That just happened.
It is a stunning fact. The medical community is calling it a miracle, considering that usually it's considered impossible to crossbreed species. Because Lamar, of course, is a human, and Chloe is a Chewbacca. They are calling the new species Chewman.
I like it.
Yeah, so they're going to have a Chewman, which I think is adorable. How do we know this to be fact and not rumor? MediaTakeout.com asks. Well, they claim to have an inside source over the E! Network saying that Chloe and Kim have just signed to do a pregnant sisters reality show this spring.
Oh, really? That's, of course,
the commitment
no
was that both sisters would be both pregnant during the series.
Did they have
Chloe and Kim Take the Uterus, it'll be called. No, I have no idea what it'll be called. They're each making 50% more in salary than they usually make for their series, by the way. Guess they're earning for two now. Now, MediaTakeout.com is the only source so far for this story, but they say it is indeed fact, and remember where you heard it first when the announcement comes down later this week.
So. Or when someone gets sued.
Or when they're printing a retraction, but just wanted to go with it just in case. Just in case. A lot of stuff.
Excuse me, Ralph. I'm sorry. It's just interesting that the reason we got Chloe on the phone is her recent comments about she's not trying to lose weight anymore and she doesn't care what she looks like.
While you were talking to her, she was eating a ton on the phone.
That's right.
Kind of plays into your story today.
And Lamar seemed more miserable than usual when you woke him up.
That's true.
All the clues were there. We just didn't pick up on it.
That's real talk right there, man.
A lot of stuff going on the internet this morning. A lot of buzz. A lot of things happening. Like Prince's new music video.
Oh, I didn't know he had new music.
Your best little friend, Kevin, Prince.
Little pussy midget.
He is releasing new music. The new music video that you can find online is for a song called Screwdriver. It is it's his new jam, as the kids say. The video is under a YouTube account called Third Eye Girl, which is rumored to be the name of his new band, according to the UK newspaper The Guardian.
So the revolution is over.
Revolution is over. Long live Third Eye Girl. Here is a little taste of the new song. It's called Screwdriver by Prince.
Balls, 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 balls,
balls, balls, balls, balls, balls, balls,
balls, balls, balls, balls,
balls, balls, balls, balls, balls,
balls, balls, balls, balls, balls, balls, balls, balls, balls, balls, balls, balls, balls, balls, rain. I can make you swear that you did something. What you
Yeah, he did it, man. He made a sexually explicit, sex double entendre song.
That's not like Prince, except so in every single song he's ever done.
I'm your driver, you're my screw.
I don't get it. By the way, if you have a chance to see him in concert, he's great.
Yeah.
He is a great performer.
Hope he plays the old stuff.
Yeah, I hear you.
You're not a fan of the screw song?
It's not doing so far it for me, but what do I know?
You do get the impression that Prince could put a new song up on the internet every single day if he wanted to. He just seems that prolific.
Yeah.
Yeah, but when it gets to the old stuff, Ralph, that's when he does the montage.
Oh, he does.
Where he does Purple Rain into Little Red Corvette into all in the space of like 2 minutes.
He gives you the clip version, eh? Yeah. I don't care for it.
Yeah,
I mean. Also, burning up the internet this morning is the newly released Mercedes-Benz commercial that they will be.
Not that.
That they'll be airing during the Super Bowl, featuring Kate Upton washing her new Mercedes-Benz CLA in slow motion.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, though. It's a gag. Because it says Kate washes her new car in slow motion, and she's taken it to a car wash where some high school football players are raising money for their program by washing cars.
Right.
And she's just standing there, and they're washing the car in slow motion.
But they're looking at her, and she looks pretty good.
Yeah, but she's like wearing...
Yeah,
jean shorts and flats and like a tank top. And it's like, hey, come on. Where's how about a bikini or a low-cut dress or some freaking thing?
Sprayed with a little water.
Come on. You have the perfect opportunity. That's what you're giving us? Boom, Mercedes-Benz, I say. Cheers. Cheers, Mercedes-Benz. Not happy with that commercial. They tease you, man.
They do.
That's Benzus Interruptus right there. That's what that is. And earlier in the show today, I was talking about the interesting article about celebrities who check into hotels under assumed names because they do not want to be recognized.
Correct.
And Bean and I did a funny chunk of comedy there.
It was.
I threw it to him and he came back with some hilarious.
It was classic.
Names.
It went right to the Museum of Radio.
I brought it. I'm not ashamed to admit it. I brought it.
Well, I wouldn't tell you. I wouldn't say it out loud if I had a name that I was going to use at the hotel.
I certainly wouldn't say it on the radio.
Yes, I do. Perhaps I'd pick out a phone directory and then go through some of the pages. Listener Edwin suggests, here are some of Bean's aliases.
That's not necessary. Come on, Ed.
Bean said he would choose a name that is opposite of what he is. My suggestions for Bean's aliases, Rick Dees.
I like it.
Raven Sherbet.
See, because I won't put any money on Baltimore, even though I'm convinced they'll win.
Joe Black Ink.
Good.
And lastly, Mr. Good Sex. All things that are the opposite
How
of what.
Dare you. Is, so.
True.
But we How did get some listener emails from people who have worked at hotels who have checked in celebrities.
Oh.
And I was fascinated. For example, Sheryl Crow. This gentleman writes, when I was working at the Hyatt, Sheryl Crow checked in as Charlotte Webb. See what she did there? It's a very popular children's book, Kevin, called Charlotte's Web.
Yeah.
So she's using Charlotte Web as the name.
Well, I thought it was a tie-in to her name, and I wasn't getting
it. Nom de plume.
Plus, my husband is dopey.
Nom de hotel.
That's right. That's what she also put.
Mrs. One Ball. Went back in the day. This gentleman writes in, I used to work at a hotel where Johnny Depp would check in often. He checked in as Mr. Donkey Penis. I looked at him incredulously as if to say, really? I know who you are. He simply looked back at me and said, I like the way it sounds on a wake-up call. Mr. Donkey Penis, this is your wake-up call. Time for you to get up.
Love it.
Yeah, it's good stuff. All right, let's take a look at celebrity birthdays.
I certainly wouldn't publish it.
Well, I wouldn't tell you. I would keep it a secret.
And then,
I'd probably mail it to myself with a post-dated envelope so that anyone intercepting it would know that the code was actually not broken. Death. Comedy death. Today's celebrity birthday is Richard Dean Anderson of MacGyver. He is 63 years old today.
I've heard that he is a real jerk.
No, he is a fine, fine gentleman. Captain Chelsea B. Sullenberger. You probably know him best as Sully.
Look at this arrogant prick.
Come on, man landed a plane on a river.
That's not true.
It's true. He did it. I saw it on television.
Not good.
It happened.
I pooped my pants.
No, you didn't. You're just a captain of an airliner.
How do you know what happened when he took it down?
He's 62 years old today. Los Angeles Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa celebrates his 60th birthday.
Nothing. We're all out of sound.
Nope. We're out.
All out of sound.
We're out.
We try not to use them if they interrupt the flow of things, Ralph.
I know. You're good that way.
That's what we're known for.
Mariska Hargitay is 49 years old. Tiffany Thiessen from White Collar and, of course, Saved by the Bell, 39 years old. Nick Harmer, bassist of Death Cab for Cutie, is 38. And MMA legend Tito Ortiz celebrates his 38th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, all new Kevin and Bean Show. We have Dr. Drew to talk to, our weekly call with Dr. Drew. We have comedian Bobcat Goldthwait.
I love Bob.
We have Doto, the international man of mystery.
What? There it is.
This is always shocking
to
us.
I'm the only one applauding, but there it is.
Because it's not going to happen. That's why I'm not applauding. Because it's not going to happen.
This is always, we're always excited about this because it's unbelievably hard to track this guy down.
Right. And then you say he's going to be on, and then what happens when he won't pick up the phone?
Well, sometimes that happens. But
usually we get him, though. If he finally comes out of hiding and agrees to talk to us, he does usually come through. But I want to, what's going on with little Miss Sourpuss over there? Why are you actively anti-applauding the international man of mystery?
Of course he's icky. Come on, what's wrong with you?
He's icky.
Well, you don't hold him up as a pillar of society.
He is literally the most interesting man in the world. There's nobody's life who I'm more fascinated with than Doto.
Oh, my God.
That guy. What do you need him for?
Good point. Yeah. There's something in Ireland that they have passed that's called moderate drunk driving. What could go wrong there?
Ireland.
I'm moving to Ireland.
What a terrible idea.
It's a great idea.
No, it's not.
Look. Happy look.
Moderate drunk.
Right. So you got to get a little bit of a buzz here, on. You're not going to hurt anybody.
Here they go over the top with buzz driving is not okay.
Oh, God, tell me about it.
They're apparently moderate drunk is just fine
just
with them.
Just they had a couple drinks. You don't have to be, you know, you're not sloppy all over the road, but you just get home.
And from Hansel and Gretel, I believe she's Gretel. It is Gemma Arterton will be in the studio with us. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's, you don't think she's handsome?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
No?
I'm not positive, but I'll do some research.
You do that.
And that's tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin.